everyone. It's a good day in this beautiful country because John Bolton just had to turn himself into federal authorities. We'll bring you the latest on that. I've just read through his 18-count indictment, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of interesting stuff on here. Like, did you know John Bolton actually likes to use AOL email? Yeah, I know. I don't know anyone who uses that still, but apparently he thinks it's a secure way to send forward classified documents. It's really bad. Like, it's really, really bad. We'll dig into the details in a few moments. We're excited that you're here. Also, later in the show, Mel Kay is going to be joining us, and she's got to sound off about this because, folks, this is really, really bad. Like, really bad. Especially because John Bolton was the individual who was actually going after President Trump over allegations that he mishandled classified documents while he was president of the United States. Now, obviously, John Bolton was never president of the United States, and he did not, apparently, according to the indictment, didn't have authorization to share the content, and yet he did. And yet he did. So we're going to dig into that in just a little bit and go through all of the glorious sound bites that Bolton has given us, of course. And it's going to be a good one. There's also more going all around, obviously, the country, not just the Bolton stuff. We're going to talk about Zohran Mamdani because he had his debate last night with Andrew Cuomo, and there was another person on the stage who's not qualified to run either, but he was present. It was interesting because I found myself rooting for Andrew Cuomo. Never thought in a million years that would happen, but we're here. That's the reality. So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well, because that was very interesting. Also, it looks like President Trump is getting closer to that peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. Obviously, Vladimir Putin has now agreed to meet to talk about the peace agreement in Budapest. It's going to be an interesting one, folks. It's also going to be interesting later today because, you know, Ukraine obviously has to give up at this point. They're going to have to give in, and they're heading their way to the White House right now. So we're looking forward to talking about that in a little bit too, because Zelensky is going to be meeting with President Trump later this afternoon, and it's going to be interesting to follow. It's going to be very interesting to follow. They are going to be in front of the media as well, and so we'll get probably a couple of questions thrown their way. Also, Tish James, obviously also being indicted. She just recently reacted to the indictment, and of course, she's playing victim. But the more interesting part in all of this is Tish James, as if it couldn't get any worse, the individuals who were living inside of her home, they're not law-abiding citizens, according to the allegations that they're currently facing. And also one of them is an OnlyFans model. So we're going to talk about that later on the show as well. Oh, I forgot to mention the fact that Madani's, one of his campaign directors, was caught on hidden camera by Steven Crowder's Mug Club, saying some insane things. Kind of gives you like a behind the scene look as to what this communist is looking to do to the city of New York specifically, what he's looking to do with law enforcement, and how they're using members of the LGBT whatever community to go into mosques. Yeah, it's insane. We've got that footage for you as well. And that's going to be interesting, of course. Also, there's a report coming out, and we're going to talk about this. Saudi Arabia is apparently going to be working out potentially some type of deal with the United States. It's all in regards to defense pact, similar to the agreement that we just recently made with Qatar. Now, that's according to the Financial Times. I have not heard the Department of War discuss this at all. But they're saying that there's going to be talks later next month in regards to just that. And it's, I guess, one of the commitments that were made when they decided to help us in that Israel-Hamas peace agreement. So we'll bring you the latest regarding this report. So there's a lot to dig into. We're excited that you're all here, of course. Mel Kay is going to be joining me in studio in the final hour of today's show. And, you know, I love to have her in studio. We used to hang out all the time. Haven't seen her much since since I've gone to Texas. This will be a good one, so don't go anywhere. We've got tons and tons and tons and tons of government corruption and so much more to expose in just a few moments.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all here on this beautiful Friday morning. And it's only a beautiful Friday morning because John Bolton just had to turn himself in to federal authorities. Yes, John Bolton. The guy who went after President Trump and was trying his very best to target Trump and say that Trump belonged in prison and deserved the FBI raiding his home and so much more. Well, John Bolton is now turning himself into federal authorities. And it turns out, while John Bolton was criticizing President Trump for the allegations he was facing, which were obviously not true, but the classified documents case, it turns out, according to this 26-page indictment, that John Bolton was up to some real shady-ish. In fact, if you look it over, it's a real head-scratcher. It's a real head-scratcher, because I think John Bolton didn't realize he was going to get in trouble one day. I think he really thought that if he sat here and did his CNN and MSNBC hits and gave him all the clips they needed about President Trump potentially going to prison, they were going to buy him immunity. But now he's facing an 18-count indictment over in Maryland. He just turned himself in, left his home, made his way into Maryland to face the federal courts today. It's quite interesting when you start going through all of this because you start to realize, number one, John Bolton is a dinosaur. Apparently, he's AOL emails and he like sends people classified documents on AOL. Here he is going in. Can't wait for that mugshot. Oh, no, this is when they just raided his home. They also raided his office as well. That's where they allegedly found these classified documents. But Fox News saying he left his Maryland home just moments ago and has now turned himself in. We're following all of this, of course, because there's going to be more happening throughout the morning on this. But, you know, I was sifting through the indictment itself, and the indictment itself is pretty fascinating because let's just do it together. John Bolton is being accused by the federal government of using his personal non-governmental email address, like AOL and Google, to send top secret level classified documents to individuals, individual one and individual two. Now, when you read through the indictment, it kind of sounds like these people are the ones who might have been helping him with his book. Remember his book, the one he had to go to court for, that the judge actually got really angry with him and said he's walking a very thin line. Because it sounds like you might be actually detailing classified information in your book, but it was a very thin line, and they said he hasn't violated anything as of yet, and they didn't have proof that he had any classified information, but I'll look. Apparently he might have, according to the federal government. At no point did Bolton have authorization to store or transmit the classified information that he sent to Individual 1 or Individual 2 via his personal electronic devices and accounts. Nor did at any time Individual 1 or 2 have authorization to know or store the classified information that Bolton gave to them. Okay, so you're telling me that John Bolton, the same John Bolton, who sat here and went after President Trump when he was facing allegations, that he did this too? But he actually did it. We're going to play clip one for you because clip one is a flashback of John Bolton's reaction to when they were trying to persecute President Donald J. Trump. Take a listen.
have to prove it, then he has committed very serious crimes. This is a devastating indictment. I speak here as an alumnus of the Justice Department myself, because not only is it powerful, it's very narrowly tailored. They didn't throw everything up against the wall to see what would stick. This really is a rifle shot, and I think it's it should be the end of Donald Trump's political career.
The end of Donald Trump's political career. He really thought he had that, didn't he? And you could just tell that he loved saying that. Well, thankfully, it wasn't the end of Donald Trump's political career because every American saw through it. If you weren't a partisan hack, you knew they were intentionally targeting that president. And so now what are we doing now? Well, we're going to actually start prosecuting real criminals. Real criminals. It's called the Accountability Tour, and John Bolton is getting his very first front row seat to the Accountability Tour. And we're excited about this. I'm excited about this. You know, when you read the details in all of this, you start to realize that, John Bolton, you know, you really like to go after President Trump for these accusations, knowing that this was a political hit job. But you didn't think, maybe I'm being a little hypocritical, given the fact that I was never the president of the United States. And here I am with, allegedly, classified documents in my possession. It is pretty insane when you go through all of this. Now, again, the indictment states that national security information was information owned by, produced for, and under control of the U.S. government. And then it lists all of the documents that are considered classified, like top secret, secret, confidential, and apparently that was all in his possession. Documents that were labeled just that. So when we sit back and we read through this indictment, I mean, it's pretty detailed. It's pretty detailed. It also goes on to talk about how while he was, and this is pretty insane, while he was the national security advisor, the indictment alleges that on April 8th of 2018, that John Bolton officially began his duties, obviously, as the national security advisor, but then he started a group chat on a non-governmental messaging application. Individual 2 asked the group, why are we using this now, the encryption? To which Individual 1 responded, yep, why not? Bolton then responded, for a diary in the future. Ah, that book deal, dude. You wanted it that bad. You wanted your book deal. You wanted to bank on your time in the White House and then just didn't give a damn about national security. He literally was banking on it. And it's interesting because we don't know what messaging app he was using, but Signal was improved by Joe Biden for government officials to be using that. Don't know what he was using. I don't know if it was approved or not. Again, this is someone who lectured us about national security, about President Trump and how President Trump didn't care about our national security. The president of the United States, the guy who has the authority to declassify information. He was going on cable news and was going after President Trump, piling on to justify the persecution of President Trump. Well, it turns out he was actually the one who was wrongfully obtaining and storing classified information, if you believe what's in this indictment. And the fact that he was so emboldened to store it at his office, even after President Trump was elected, that tells you all you need to know. This guy was bold. I don't think he realized that he was in a lot of ish. You know, you sat here and you came for President Trump and you had no problem trying to discredit his reputation, try to say that he was the problem, when in fact it was John Bolton. Now, President Trump tried to tell us all in clip 2, we're doing a little flashback here. He told us all that John Bolton was an idiot. And so when I tell you that it's pretty foolish to keep these classified documents in your possession, even after President Trump gets elected and you know that he's going to go and hold those accountable who went after not only just him, but went after the American people. President Trump tried to tell you this guy's an idiot. Take a listen.
But I said, don't go in. They went in. It was such a bad decision. So Bolton, see again, you get back. Bolton, a real dope, but I thought he'd be great. Because he was so stupid. He was like a boiler. Every time If somebody shot down a little tiny crappy drone that cost about $15, he'd want to go to war with Russia. I said, no, I think he was great for me, though, for a period of time, because he was a nut job, and everybody, I could see his face get red, red, red with that stupid white mustache, and he'd be ready to explode. And this was good for me. I went to Kim Jong-un in North Korea. I took this moron with me, and he never said anything. But when Kim Jong-un saw him, he said, oh, shit, I think the guy wants to go to war. So he was great for me to negotiate with. The same thing with Russia. You know, when Putin saw him, I'd be very nice. I'd say, hi, Vladimir, how you doing? And then Putin's, you know, two rows back, and he'd see that moron, and he'd say, holy shit, this guy wants to go to war with me. And I got a lot of what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. He does look like a warmonger. And when you're going through the indictment too, it's really fascinating because they specifically cite the public statements that Bolton has made in the past regarding the numerous public statements. This is a quote, demonstrating his understanding of how to properly handle classified information and potentially the consequences of failing to do so. That's it. That's going to be the death blow. Folks. This guy knew what he was doing. He was banking on a future book. It's very clear if you read this indictment. In my opinion, I think it is clear as day that that was the goal here in all of this. He traded national security for a paycheck. There's a word for that. There's a word for that. It's called treason. It's called treason. You see, when you read the details here, and it's very detailed. You know, when he sat there and was going over the indictment regarding President Trump, he tried to justify it by saying, oh, they're not just throwing things at the wall. There's legitimacy behind this. Now, there's legitimacy behind this. Because John Bolton knew exactly what he was doing. He was selling out the American people, and he had no problem doing that. It's just, it's insane. Now, the federal government did seize his diary entries, including documents that were related to national security defense and contained classified information. So I think that's what he thought was like the way to go around it. The way to go around it was to maybe put it in your diary. Some of the documents related to national defense that the FBI found in Bolton's home. Yeah. And then they list the account specifically as to what those charges are. So they were in his home and they were in his office, it looks like. And it looks like also that there was signal also being used. Again, this is the guy who sat here and went after President Trump. And this is how concrete, and he was using Telegram too, it looks like as well. No surprise here, folks. It was either Telegram or Signal, it looks like. And I just think it's really fascinating that this is what happened. This is what was going on. This man was so emboldened to go after President Trump and attack him publicly and try to discredit him and pile up on the political persecution when he, in fact, knew damn well what he was doing behind the scenes. Folks, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. That's the AlexJonesStore.com because today's the last day to make a purchase and enter yourselves in to that contest to win those two sick rides. So head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now because when you do, folks, you're to, first off, we're extending that 25% off site-wide sale that's going on right now over the Alex Jones store. But you're going to also get the free nitric boost. It's also going to be included in that. So head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. Great time to buy. You're supporting us and our very next venture when you make a purchase over there. It's just so crazy to me, this Bolton stuff. But this dropped yesterday. I was just, it was a pileup of so much that was dropping. And I'm like reading through it, going through it, like this guy really didn't think they were going to come after him. It's a bold move. It truly, truly is. Also, there were other indictments that fell yesterday that I want to highlight. The DOJ brought terrorism-related charges to members of Antifa. Two individuals that were involved in ICE agent attack in Texas were just indicted by a federal grand jury for providing material support for terrorism. attempting to murder a federal agent, discharging firearms during attempted murder. Now, again, they told you they were going to be coming after these people, and I'm hopeful that this is just the start, because we do need a strong start, and we're hoping that's the case. Nick Sorter doing a lot of digging on this issue, of course. This is going to be his beat these days. It's going to keep him very busy. This is related to the July 4th attack on that ICE facility in Texas. The indictment was unsealed yesterday. It was given to Fox first. See if we could find other details regarding that. Yeah, so it's interesting. It is very, very interesting that this was the pileup. When police began to respond, the indictment says that one of these defendants yelled out, "Get to the rifles." They're also being accused of spray painting "Ice Pig" on a police officer's car. Just this is what we're up against. It's really no surprise here. It's good to see, though, that the indictments are starting to come. Long overdue. Long overdue. And it's not just that, though. We're going to play clip three for you because there's also an FBI raid that took place, it looks like yesterday as well, in regards to a BLM activist who's now being accused of misusing multiple millions of dollars, it looks like, for Medicaid fraud and other schemes. Take a listen.
Now at noon, FBI officials are a home near the Palisades as part of an investigation. Thank you for joining us. I'm Naya Harden, but this is happening right now on Youngblood Road. WBTV investigates. David Hodges is on the scene and has been digging deeper to find out what is going on. David, what is happening right now?
Yeah, Naya, we're still trying to get information. I have spoken with one of the agents here, but right now I just want to actually show you the scene because that gives you the best idea of what's going on here on Youngblood Road. You can see most of these cars are undercover but have blue flashing lights. You see the occasional CMPD cruiser as well, but I went over and spoke with one of the agents, and this is an FBI investigation. I confirmed from an FBI spokesperson that this is a court-authorized investigation. But that is about all the information they're giving right now. Like I said, we got here at about 11:30, so we've been on scene for 30 minutes. This is about the amount of cars that have been here. You can see that the driveway is blocked by one of these undercover cars with blue flashing lights. What I've been doing since we arrived, and even before that a little bit, is actually digging into who owns this home, which is somebody that we have reported on some in the past. His name is Cedric Dean, a community activist, and runs services for the homeless and some of the population who are underserved in Mecklenburg County. So we're digging deeper into that aspect of it, but all we have right now from the FBI, again, is that this is a court-authorized investigation. I'll be digging deeper into the other aspect.
Isn't that interesting? So when you look at the allegations Dean is facing right now, it's very fascinating because he's being accused of submitting and inflating false Medicaid claims, fake diagnosis, and utilizing Cash App also being included in all of this. Federal officials have now seized his bank accounts, vehicles, including two RVs, a luxury SUV, and multiple properties. It's good to see the FBI doing what they should be doing. You know, we almost forgot what this federal agency was supposed to be doing in the first place. But it's interesting to see as this all unravels, of course. We're going to continue to follow it. And it's all related to Medicaid fraud. Let's be very clear there. It's Medicaid fraud. Now, let's talk about Russia-Ukraine, because President Trump is going to be meeting with the Ukrainian president in about a couple of hours, around 3 p.m. Eastern time. He's expected to make his way to the White House. We're going to take a listen to clip four because the press secretary says President Trump is committed to ending this war. Take a listen.
With Putin? Yes, of course. I just left the Oval Office and spoke with the president, the secretary of state, and the vice president about the call. And the president, first of all, deserves tremendous credit for how much time and effort he has put into solving peace in the Middle East, which everyone said he wouldn't be able to do. There were many doubters about the president and his national security team, and they are getting it done. And now with respect to the Russia-Ukraine war, which the president continues to be wholeheartedly committed to ending, it was a very good and productive call between the president and President Putin. They discussed discussed many issues. President Putin congratulated the president for solving peace in the Middle East. They also discussed, of course, the Russia-Ukraine war, and they have agreed to convene a meeting of their high-level staff next week to continue these very important discussions, which may be followed by yet another meeting between President Trump and President Putin. I believe the president will be putting out his own statement on this matter momentarily, so everyone should keep their eyes on Truth Social. But it was a good and productive call. And then, of course, we will welcome President Zelensky here to the White House again tomorrow so the president can continue those conversations with the Ukrainian side of this conflict.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. You know, President Trump is on a mission to end wars all around the world, and he seems to be hyper-focused on that. That's what the American people want to see. That's why he got elected. The man that they told you was going to start World War III is bringing peace to countries we were told would never actually see the end of these types of wars. You see what's so interesting about this? When he pulled the funding from Ukraine, sadly, those warmongers, it seems to end the wars. It forces both sides to come to the table and come to an agreement rather than continue the bloodshed. Which really pisses off the warmongers, of course. But they can't directly tell you that now. They're going to have to find a way to pretend like they really wanted this to end in the first place. We all know they didn't, though, of course. So we're going to keep our eye on the White House today because President Trump obviously working on a lot there. And it's going to be very interesting to see Zelensky arrive again at the White House. And the best part is President Trump is doing this in front of the cameras because the American people want to see what's actually happening. For far too long, they have been pushed aside and forced to not have transparency because a lot of these calls, you don't really get the recordings from it. You don't really get much. So it's fascinating to see this all play out, of course. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a very good day today. I look forward to seeing Zelensky. I'm sure he's going to be very respectful, hopefully put on a suit. Probably not, though. Come in his little costume. We'll be following that today, of course, throughout the day. Also, folks, I want to remind you, stay in touch with us. Download the Alex Jones app. You can do so, alexjonesapp.com, of course. That's the easy way to get to it. Right now, we are at the top of the charts when it comes to the iTunes charts, I should say, specifically. What's so fascinating about this, too, I guess it's the App Store, not the iTunes. I'm old school. What's fascinating about this, too, folks, is you don't know when this is actually going to, the front door is going to be locked. And so the best way to stay in touch with us is to stay in touch with us through the app. That's how we communicate with you. That's how you can get us wherever you are. So make sure you do that. Also, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now because today is the last day to participate in that potential giveaway. You want to enter to win a car? Well, the best way to do so is to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. And with every purchase, you are entering yourself into the race, of course, 25% off store-wide as well. So now is a great time to head on over and support us at our next mission over at the alexjonesstore.com. Okay, so when we come back, so we got a lot to dig into today. I want to talk Tish James. There's a lot going on with Tish James. Tish James, apparently she thinks she's a victim here. Of course, that's what Democrats always do. They always pull their victim card. She's claiming, oh, I was just doing my job when I was going after President Trump, and now he's coming after me. But when you actually look at what the charges she's facing are and what evidence they have against her, and then the people who were living inside that home that she was just being so kind to give to her niece, you start to realize there's a big, big issue here, a massive, massive issue. Everyone in Tish James' family, it seems like, is a criminal. Surprise, surprise. I don't think Tish James skipped out on that either. We're also going to be digging into several important stories I can't wait for, like Zohran Mahdani. Well, his campaign just got exposed by Mug Club. So don't go anywhere. We've got tons of more to discuss in just a moment.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done, and I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person and then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years, then the adventure begins, and then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like, and like literally just you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong, and it's God, and it's there, and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship. They all want to teach other people it. And God says get together in groups. That's great. But Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. He went to the prostitutes, and the tax collectors, and the robbers, and the thieves, because they were already outcast. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. Is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find like just the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just
they're connected to God's power. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost, and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God, and then they'll see everything that's happening, and then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad, because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftist, you know, graffiti and garbage. I mean, it's been captured is my point.
God is gay.
But people can't get turned off by that and say, well, God's dead. No. Satan has occupied the so-called temples. But God isn't in the temple. God is inside us.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're all excited you are joining us. Of course, a lot to dig into, a lot going on in the world today, a lot to celebrate. John Bolton just had to force himself to get turned in, we're thanking him for, because it looks like he actually committed crimes. In regards to classified documents being stored when he wasn't supposed to, and then being sent through AOL and Gmail email. Huh. Isn't that strange? The guy who lectured President Trump on cable news about the crimes that he was accused of, but obviously it was a persecution, well, looks like he was lying to the American people. Looks like he was doing what he was accusing President Trump of not doing. Obviously President Trump didn't do it, but you know, you get the drift here. Not surprising, of course. So we're going to continue to dig into that because, again, We knew it, right? We knew that this man, for years now, very likely took home classified information based on his book because he was using too much details in his book to describe what was actually happening behind the scenes. So we're going to keep following this all day. I just think it's fascinating to see those who go out there and point their finger at the camera and say, President Trump's wrong, the American people are wrong, and they lecture you on everything. Well, looks like the guy who was an expert on classified documents didn't realize that he himself was not allowed to take them home or transmit them to individuals through AOL or Gmail personal emails. So John Bolton's in a lot of trouble. He made his way just a couple of moments ago to a federal courthouse. Did you guys know they actually stopped doing AOL now? So now you can't get your dial-up services anymore. Just a couple of weeks ago, actually, they shut it down. I think it was only lasted about 28 years. RIP. But we want to turn to something else here. Let's talk about Big Tish. Because Big Tish is in a big, big situation right now. She's got herself in a legal jam. Now, if you're wondering what did Big Tish do, you probably heard she's accused of mortgage fraud. Now, she'll tell you, oh, I was just trying to get my niece's a house. Well, when you start looking at who those family members are, they do have a criminal record, surprise, surprise. And again, one of them, which is kind of really sad, her grandniece, just tells you all you need to know about the family. 21 years old, an OnlyFans model with a felony record, according to reports. And if you're wondering, too, she was lying about her felony record to buy a gun or charges that are she's currently dealing with. She was a juvie when she was hit with the felony charge, it looks like. It's just craziness. Looks like the gun charge was later dropped, according to reports as well, we should say. And it's not just her. There are others in that house who are accused of crimes as well. So for Tish, like, it's not like this is unexpected. Your lineage, it looks like, says criminal. And I kind of feel bad for her. Okay, I'm going to say it. Let's get a little mean girlish. So I kind of feel bad for her, right? Because when you look at those genetics, she's been punished enough. I don't think I'd go after her. That is a bad, bad, ugly looking family. trying to think of nicer ways to phrase it. Oh gosh, it gets worse. What do you think? It can't get any worse. It gets worse. That's the grandniece, apparently. Big Tish is really upset, though. Clip 5 will show you how upset she is about these indictments. And in fact, she just wants to tell you that she didn't go after President Trump, even though she ran on her political campaign. She didn't go after President Trump for political reasons. No, no, no. She went after him because she had to. It was her job. Take a listen.
The decision was based on the Administrative Procedure Act, an arbitrary and capricious act by this agency, and an unlawful act. And so, too, is the indictment. It's baseless. It's nothing more than retribution. Retribution for basically doing my job. For doing my job following a 2-year investigation and a congressional hearing. It wasn't political. It was based on facts and the application of the evidence. And the judgment was sustained. The amount of the disgorgement was what was dismissed. But the judgment remains. And so at this point in time, we will vigorously defend those charges, those baseless charges. My arraignment, as you know, is next Friday. I visit Norfolk quite frequently. My family is in Norfolk. I love my family. And I will defend these charges. And I want everyone to know that it is completely baseless and I am totally innocent.
I am totally, totally innocent. I'm not buying it. Are you buying it? Because I'm not buying it. You see, the issue here is this, right? Tish James, she always wants to sound very convincing, like she's a victim. Very dramatic in her tone. But the reality of it is it looks like she may have committed a crime and she's just trying to win over empathy points. You see, Tish, no one is above the law. That were things that you made a very top priority, right? She made a very she made it the top priority of her administration to go after President Trump because she said no one's above the law. You have to go after everyone. Well, we have to go after everyone, and you lied on a mortgage application. Then guess what? You need to be held accountable. See, Tish Shames didn't mean no one's actually above the law. New York Democrats think they're above the law. You see, she ran for office on the campaign promise that she was going to go after President Trump and throw him and his family in prison, bankrupt them. And it looks like it just backfired. Isn't it crazy? The people that have been lecturing us and telling us that these people are criminals are actually the criminals. Now, of course, she has her day in court. And again, this just highlights how dramatic she is, right? She wanted her photo opportunity. The staring, the obsession. That's why she got that front row seat to watch President Trump. She thought she could get campaign donations from that. You see, Americans do not like political persecutions. In fact, they strongly disapprove. And that is the reason why President Trump, I believe, made his way back into the White House. Because so many Americans saw what was happening and they had enough. There's also a lot of Americans who think that they're victims of the government. And so they were able to have a lot of compassion and empathy for President Trump. So for Tish James, Big Tish, it's going to be a rough one. No matter how many dramatic speeches you give, you're very likely going to prison. Pretty smile on my face, obviously. As a former New Yorker and having to deal with her for far too long, I could tell you she's worthy of this. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's stay in New York. Let's keep it to the communist theme that we have going on here. Last night, there was a debate in New York City for, it's mayoral race. And it's not looking really good. Like, it's really, really bad. In fact, last night, I was rooting for the unthinkable. I was rooting for Andrew Cuomo to win. I never thought in a million years that would be the case. I think he's a horrible person. I think, in my opinion, he's a criminal. But last night, it was very, very unexpected. We got a couple of laughs, of course, but it was unexpected because I was cheering for this guy. We're going to play clip 7 for you because clip 7 really just highlights how, first off, ignorant Madani is, how he just kept pushing for free, free, free. Sadly, his base isn't very bright and they don't realize that free means your taxes are going up. So it's not really free. Take a listen to clip 7.
But the question is how you'll make them free.
We will fund the revenue that would have otherwise been brought in from fares. And that's something that we would do in partnership with Albany. And I've put forward two proposals. The first is to raise taxes on the top 1% of New Yorkers by 2%. That would raise $4 billion. The second is to raise the state's top corporate tax rate to match that of New Jersey, which would raise $5 billion.
So he's only raising taxes for the rich. You know what's funny about the rich? The rich can move anywhere. You want to raise taxes? Good. Adios. So many have already fled New York City and fled to Florida. And then you have Madani, who's also going after the federal government, President Trump. So he's really burning all of his revenue streams at this point. You see, the thing about these communists, they love to earn your votes by offering young people who might be struggling, because very early on in your life, you do struggle a little bit. So he's trying to pull them in with the free, free, free incentive. But little do they realize that it's not always the case. In fact, they're likely going to have a low quality life, higher taxes, but they don't see that right now. They don't. Madani's obviously a communist, and you know, I love talking about how he's a communist because I think this is important to call it out, and a lot of people just continue to say, oh, he's a member of the Socialists of America movement. Communist. Say it. Bring shame to that man. So many people just don't want to say it. But not only is he a communist, he's obviously a Muslim as well. And he's very prideful about potentially being the first Muslim mayor of New York City, which is a slap in the face for all New Yorkers who sat there and experienced 9/11. I mean, I was very young during 9/11, but I could smell what was in the air afterwards. As somebody who's even living in the suburbs at the time in Long Island, you could smell that. In the air, you could smell the burning in the air. It's something we all remember. So the idea that we might actually live through someone who is extremely hateful leading the city that was led to this terrorist event, this terrorist attack, is an absolute disgrace. Yesterday during the debate, they tried to force him to speak badly about 9/11 because people he's supported in the past really didn't think that that was a terrorist attack, in fact, celebrated it. But the worst part about it is Madani thought he was going to win over some points. He actually tried to call out Andrew Cuomo for not going to a mosque. In clip 8, he thinks that it is a disqualifier for Cuomo not to appear in a mosque. Take a listen.
Democratic primary for him to set foot in a mosque. He had more than 10 years, and he couldn't name a single mosque at the last debate we had that he visited. And what Muslims want in this city is what every community wants and deserves. They want equality, and they want respect. And it took me to get you to even see those Muslims as part of this city. And that, frankly, is something that is shameful and is why so many New Yorkers have lost faith in this politics.
Yeah, except, you know, that is totally false. I've worked with the Muslim community for many years.
A single mosque you went to when you were the governor. Can you name a single mosque you went to in 10 years?
Before you were ever here. They were
before
in
I
this-
was here.
Okay. Spoiler alert. I actually think not going to a mosque makes you qualified to run for New York City mayor. So, after seeing that, I'm rooting for Cuomo at this point. I mean, we've officially reached the bottom of the barrel when it comes to candidates for New York City mayor. And I'm rooting for the worst of the worst at this point. See, Madani is garbage. He's a communist. He's an awful human being. He's a spoiled child who never actually had to work, but he wants everything for free. You see, back in the country that he has fled, he thinks that he needs to bring those ideas to this country. This is the problem when you import people from countries that have not been able to build up their own governments. You get this. He's not thankful for how we've been able to thrive in this country. Instead, he wants to cripple everything that you love. See, we know this because, well, thankfully, we've just seen kind of a little sneak peek because there's more coming out later today. But we've gotten a sneak peek as to what's really going on in the Madani campaign behind the scenes, of course. And in clip 9, you're going to hear it. It's a little long of a soundbite because there's just so much going on behind the scenes. You got to listen to how his campaign is looking to both manipulate Americans into thinking that he is the right pick for mayor, but how they're using the LGBT whatever community to go after Muslim New Yorkers. Take a listen.
I felt like this, this just came out of nowhere. Like, not at all. Like, this has been a coordinated, organizing effort for, since 2014.
I walk out of the office. Guess who walked in? 5 police officers and they're on my box.
Why was there 5 police officers with them?
You know, we're protecting our big dog.
So, if Madani wins, won't he be able to, stop ICE from coming in here and taking our undocumented citizens?
Make it harder for them, but the only thing he can do is stop the NYPD from helping. Right now, Adams is letting the NYPD help them.
Right, but we would have control over the NYPD
He can go to the NYPD and be like, do not let them into the courthouses.
So and what would they say?
Well, ICE wouldn't be able to go in.
What did the police think about Zoran? Because I know that's a little contentious.
What they think. You're a city employee. You get told what to do. Shut up. When did you get an opinion? You don't have a political opinion. You're nonpartisan. That's the way it should be. Yeah. That is the worst thing they ever did, the cops. They went out there and they said, we endorse Trump.
What?
They started wearing Trump things. Now they just elected a very progressive guy. Now even if he's nice to you, you're looked at as the enemy of him. Because you endorse Trump. So whose side are you on?
So they have a lot of say in the campaign, the DSA?
They were the big endorsee, and they provided, they're the backbone of the campaign.
Democratic Socialists of America.
Those f***ing kids.
What about them?
They are a different level of, they're going to save the whole country. The DNC doesn't really have a lot of power here. I worry more about Hochul.
Okay.
Your state.
Yeah, what is she going to do?
She's the one that has all the money. You go to Hochul, you tell her, I have 60,000 volunteers. and I'm going to say you're the reason that we're not getting this done. You're up for election next year. Well, guess what? You're going to have a primary opponent, and I'm going to tell my 60,000 volunteers to just beat Cuomo and all their money to go work for your opponent. That's how it works. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only thing that they get.
So, I mean, so is...
She gets it. She gets it.
She's going to bend.
She's better.
Yeah.
I don't know who's telling her not to.
Oh, I saw Hochul endorse Hamdani.
She got the word, you know? She found out. She done found out that we're the Democrat. Wow. A couple months.
What?
A couple months for her to figure out that we're the Democratic nominee now.
Yeah, how did we get her to bend the knee?
They talked. More importantly, it's not so much hopeful. Was we got the leader of the Democratic Assembly to pretty much endorse our platform.
Okay, why is that important?
Because there's three bodies of government: the Assembly, the State Senate, and then the Governor. So we have the Governor, and we have the Assembly. The State Senate will bend too. For this campaign, the thing that we really keyed in on was South Asian Muslim voters and getting them out to vote, because historically they're registered to vote, but they don't vote. Nobody speaks to their values. They're all a bunch of f***ing Israel supporting politicians. They can care less. Nobody young, nobody full of hope, no, nothing. So why the hell would they go vote? Last time they voted was Obama. Hey, this is the only Muslim running for mayor. We win, you'll be the first Muslim ever to be mayor. He's the only candidate that wants to arrest President Netanyahu.
He what?
That wants to arrest Netanyahu when he comes to New York. We go to the mosque. We organize the mosque. We get the imams to tell people, go vote. We get Zohran to go there and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do it. That's how you do it. We go to 100 of them in a week. 100 mosques. We get young lesbian white women to go and give out flyers in a mosque. So good.
Obviously, it's not what you want to see, but you got to see it. It's the truth. It's what's happening behind closed doors in the Madani campaign. This is courtesy, of course, of Bug Club Undercover. That is Steven Crowder's group. So you got to head on over. This will be released in full later today to watch the full discussions that were happening behind closed doors. Again, there was a lot going on there that I want to talk about. Number one, he's talking about pressuring Kathy Hochul. This is the campaign director. This is one of the campaign directors talking about pressuring New York Governor Kathy Hochul. So a communist is putting his foot to Kathy Hochul's neck and forcing her to endorse. That's pretty much what he's describing there. I've reached out to Kathy Hochul's PR team, her press team, and of course they did not respond. But I wanted to know, did you get pressured to endorse a communist? You see, for far too long, Democrats pretend like they're moderates so they can win elections. But Kathy Hochul has always been a commie, but doesn't really want to talk about that. But now she's supporting someone who is a full commie and isn't backing down from that one. And they're saying that they bullied you into supporting Madani. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And he's bragging about New York City potentially getting the first Muslim mayor. Wouldn't that be a nightmare? You see, the rest of us who understand how this will turn out do not want that to happen, of course. And then he goes on to brag about how they're using ignorant, foolish lesbians to go into mosques. You see, the problem with young people in this country is they just don't understand. They really just don't understand. They live in a bubble. They think that Madani is a young guy, represents my values. But they don't realize what actually happens in Islam when you decide to be a lesbian. Hopefully they don't actually have to find out the hard way. But the reality of it is they don't understand who they're really supporting. the rainbow community is going to give their support to a man who would not support them when his Islamists go after them. You see, what's going on right now in New York City is sad to watch, especially as someone who grew up as a New Yorker. I grew up in Long Island, would often go into work in the city, would often go to the city. Can't go there anymore, though. It's an absolute cesspool, and it's only gonna get worse. Zohran Mamdani is a communist, and we need to make sure that he doesn't get elected. He will very likely get elected. And it's really just heartbreaking for anyone who loves New York City. Clip 10 is a message that Charlie Kirk had about Zohran Mamdani, and it's something that should echo with everyone. Take a listen.
I like Mamdani because he's authentic. But authentic to what? And what is he aiming towards? He's aiming towards a devolution. It's bad either way. By the way, if he eats with his rice with his hands, whether he means it or not, he's either authentically gross or he's being a fake, disgusting person. And in some of the comments of a TikTok video I made, people said, but Charlie, who are you to judge other cultures? No. That's the point. We in Western culture believe that our way of life is the best. We're better than Mohammedism. We don't do female genital mutilation. Well, I guess the trans people do, but we don't do female genital mutilation. We in the West don't have child marriages. We don't believe in honor killings. We don't believe in polygamy. We believe in American exceptionalism. We believe our culture is better. You see, in the modern world, happiness is the goal, feelings are the guide, judgment is the ultimate sin, and God is the ultimate guest. And let me say that again. Judgment is the ultimate sin. You're not allowed to judge others. Guess what? I'm going to judge you if you eat rice with your hands. That's bad. That's wrong. Assimilation is a necessity, not a suggestion.
I can't believe they took that from us. It's so devastating. Because Charlie Kirk was right, and he was also ramping up. He was ramping up his coverage in regards to the Islamic takeover throughout this country. Folks, this is a serious issue. You also heard in that audio recording from Mug Club Undercover, you also heard the campaign director say that they were looking to, they've been doing this for a while now. They've been ramping up for this moment for a while now. And that's the reality. You know, the RARE Foundation and others have covered this. The Islamic takeover that's happening right now in our country is something that's been, they've been doing for a while now. We've imported millions of Muslims over these last few years. And it's a slow, but kind of fast progression. And the reality is they have no problem waiting this one out. You see, they know because you're afraid, not you personally, but most Americans are afraid of being called a really nasty name, that they could sit there and take over this country and pour millions of Muslims into our country. Then you'll just have to comply. Because you're going to be too afraid to speak out because they've now been brought into your country. And we all know, we've seen what happens when you dare question their so-called faith. Folks, this is dangerous. We've got more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because it's last day, for you to jump into this contest that we have going on right now. You can win one of these cars with every purchase you make, plus it's 25% off site-wide. And there's so much more to get. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and Boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue, at TheAlexShowStore.com.
And it's a good Friday because, well, John Bolton was just forced to turn himself in, making his way into a federal courthouse just moments ago. Fox News outside, and they got the image, of course, but it's a good day. It's a good day when the guy who lectured us about national security and lectured President Trump about classified documents, well, allegedly he had his own classified documents in his home, and he wasn't president of the United States, so he actually shouldn't have done that. Again, these are all allegations he's facing, and he's forced to turn himself in. We want the mugshot. We want that mugshot. We're waiting for that mugshot. But he's now facing 18 counts in this indictment. Rightfully so. The guy who thought he was above everyone else, he should be indicted. Imagine being John Bolton, seeing President Trump get elected again, and he really thought, let me just keep stashing away all of these classified documents. Did he not think that accountability wasn't going to come after him? Probably not. Probably not. But it sends a very important message. And that message is clear. This is the accountability tour. And it better not stop now. We want all of them to be held accountable, dragged off into federal courthouses. And of course, judged amongst a jury of their peers. A jury of their peers. Again, I'll just highlight some of the key points in all of this. Roger Stone is going to be joining us later in this hour to react to all of this. But Bolton is being accused of using his personal non-governmental email accounts, such as his AOL email account, which just highlights that this guy is a dinosaur. Sorry if you have AOL at home. And his Google emails to send to individual one and individual two, which I'm going to just, in my opinion, say it sounds like someone who was working on his book based on the indictment details. And he was just sending them stuff that they might have not been authorized to actually have. It also goes on in the indictment to say that they found stuff in his home, his office. He even, while working under the Trump administration, decided to start an encrypted group chat. According to him, he started it when he was asked about individual one and individual two for diary in the future! ! That was on page 10 in the indictment. And again, he sent that message as to why he created the encrypted app group message. Because why? Well, because he had a book he wanted to sell. And he was plotting. April 8th of 2018. What a freaking disgrace this man was. Still is. He deserves every moment of this, every moment of this. And even the indictment tells you that he was someone who actively lectured the public about classified documents and how important it was to keep those classified and protected. And yet he's just shipping it away on AOL email addresses. Oh, John Bolton. Roger Stone, like I said, is going to be joining us later in the show to discuss that. Plus, you know, we're going to talk about this too. Democrats are writing letters to Google in regards to their settlement with President Donald Trump. I don't think people like Elizabeth Warren are very happy that Trump is now working with big tech companies to make things right. There are censorship wars. I almost said the wrong word there. It's early. It's a Friday. Although I use that excuse every day. We're also going to talk about Saudi Arabia because there's a new report. The Department of War hasn't confirmed this report, but it comes from the Financial Times, and it says that we got to flag this for you, that we might actually be working out a defense pact with Saudi Arabia. Not good. Not good stuff. So don't go anywhere. We've got a ton more to discuss in the second hour of the show. In the third hour, I'll actually be joined in studio by my girl, Mel Kay. She is here, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. So don't go anywhere, folks. We've got plenty of more corruption to expose on the American Journal.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to the American Journal, folks. We are heading into the second hour of the program. I'm excited that you're here and joining us. We're going to be joined by Roger Stone in just a few moments in the second half of the second hour. So you're going to want to tune in for that because I got some questions for Roger. Like, how do you feel when you sit back and you're watching as John Bolton just strolls into federal court? I wonder how Roger Stone will feel about that. I also want to talk to him about how John Bolton was somebody who would lecture President Trump about how classified documents shouldn't be stored at your house. And it turns out if you read the indictment and everything in here is true, that he did just that. And he wasn't the president of the United States. And there's also a lot of things in here that suggest that John Bolton, not even suggest at this point, if these things are authentic, then John Bolton, from his very first day, it sounds like, was like plotting to start a book, to have a book release. And in fact, on April 8th of 2018, in an encrypted messaging app between Individual 1 and Individual 2, it says that he was asked by these people, why are we starting this encrypted group message? And Bolton then responded, for a diary in the future! ! So he was plotting to profit off of national security issues. That's very interesting, John Bolton. That is very, very interesting. So you're saying that when he was in front of the judge, when they brought him in front of the courts and he was going through all of this and the judge was going after him saying that this book actually kind of crosses a very thin line. You're getting very close to disclosing classified information. He just said, oh, it was my notes. Turns out it might have not actually just been his notes. If you believe what the DOJ and the FBI are saying about him. Classified documents found in his home, office. And he didn't think about destroying these documents. Getting rid of them when President Trump was reelected again as president. I guess he didn't think the accountability tour was going to make a stop at his home, at his office. But here we are. I want to talk about Google and YouTube. Now, as many of you guys know, they settled in a lawsuit in regards to pulling down President Trump's accounts, and they settled for a chunk of change. They agreed to pay $24.5 million to settle those lawsuits, and that was last month, with $22 million being allocated to President Trump's White House State Ballroom construction. I love that so much. Well, obviously, Democrats not happy about this. They want answers. So they're sending aggressive letters to Google and YouTube, and they want answers. They also want to talk to them about the antitrust lawsuits, which is happening still to this day with the DOJ. You see, Google has been utilized by those on the left for far too long to control messaging. And so, obviously, Republicans, and hopefully it's a top priority, I can't really promise you it is, though. They are still censoring people like Alex Jones on YouTube. But Democrats, I think, are trying to pull their way back in to having all that power and authority over Google. The senators expressed concerns about the nature of this dialogue in regards to Google and their, I guess, the White House, the CEO of Google, how he met with the White House, how he was at the White House dinner. Again, they are sitting here and they're trying to seek clarification regarding their dialogue, their influence in YouTube settlements. And if the settlement at all was affected by President Trump's current pending litigation through the DOJ. So they're trying to connect President Trump's personal lawsuits to the ongoing issues that are still pending in court with the DOJ. I have a feeling it's not going to end the way that these people think it's going to end. And they're really, really reaching here. Like really, really reaching here. But Pocahontas and others really just don't have much to grab onto these days. They don't. And they are trying their very best. You see, again, for far too long, Google was being used by Democrats to silence people like President Trump. And they've seen enough, apparently. Now they want to sit there and send what you probably would assume is a threat when these individuals are reaching out to Google to find out the answers in all of this. Now, again, I think we could agree none of these people, and you see in this video right now, Bill Gates and others, Mark Zuckerberg, are people that I would say are allies of the Trump administration or the American people at this point. But this is what they want answers to, because this really ticked off Democrats. So now they want to figure out how close is Google getting with President Trump and members of his administration. I want to turn to another story. This one caught my eye. And as many of you guys know, last week, there was a very jarring video. It was not a good time for me. A guitar was meeting with someone who I like a lot, the Department of War Secretary, Mr. Pete Hegseth. And there was a negotiation, I guess, that happened behind the scenes, probably related to, and I don't think they've directly put the linkage there yet, probably related to the peace deal between Hamas and Israel, because Qatar did work with the president to make sure that was going to happen. But Qatar, for a very long time, has been trying to get into the conservative world of things here in the United States. And, I mean, they've invested in conservative, so-called conservative media outlets. They have tried to win over influencers. I know I was offered, beginning of this year, a nice trip to Qatar, all paid, all inclusive, just post that you're here and how much you love it. I was told that it was going to be funded by the government. I did not go to Qatar, in case anyone's wondering at home. Did not get to experience that. I figured if I jumped on a plane and went, I probably wouldn't come back alive. But they've been trying for a very long time now to get their way into the administration, win their way into conservatives' hearts. Most people don't realize that, yeah, they're playing both sides of all of this. So there's a new report from the Financial Times. And again, it has not yet been confirmed by the Department of War. So keep that in the back of your mind. We're apparently like in talks with Saudi Arabia to possibly have some type of agreement regarding defense. Specifics are unknown. The Crown Prince is expected to be at the White House next month and be meeting with senior Trump officials. This is all according to the Financial Times and their sources. And again, after seeing what happened with Qatar, I don't think it's too far off. I think this is probably some type of an agreement that was made. The State Department calls defense ties with Saudi Arabia a strong bedrock. I had to take a second before saying that out loud. So I guess this is what we're doing. I guess we're just so focus on winning over business in the Middle East that we're going to start doing this. Now, again, it's great to have connections. It's great to be on friendly terms with countries, but folks, they want to learn. They want to learn things about our military. They want to see how we do things here in this country. I don't recommend this. The Saudis are not our friends. And this is the problem, right? Because all of these Islamic countries, they love to sit there and pretend like they want to get along. They want to coexist. But they are allowed to lie to us. So not ideal. Not ideal at all. And again, this report not yet being confirmed by the Department of War. But it's very important that we pay attention to these things. And at the same time, while we're talking about this, I want to also shift your focus over to a Truth Social post that came out yesterday from President Trump. Truth Social has been a great platform for President Trump, and I love the fact that he utilizes it. But he said this yesterday. If Hamas continues to kill in Gaza, which was not the deal, we will have no choice but to go in and kill them. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, I love the president. I love the fact that he got those hostages home. But what does he mean by we will have no choice but to go in and kill them? I hope that doesn't mean boots on the ground. Obviously, they're not going to disclose strategy. I don't think Hamas really thinks that's a threat. I think they challenge that by saying, come and get us. But it's interesting. I mean, President Trump's not backing down from this. We reported it earlier in the week. As soon as the peace deal on both sides was met, they got their hostages back, Israel. And then Hamas got their Islamic terrorists back. They went to executing people on the streets. 8 people confirmed that were executed. People who they didn't even show any evidence of having ties to Israel and helping Israel out. They dragged them to the street and executed them in front of their own people. I also didn't hear anything from the Free Palestine movement. It's kind of crazy that they don't speak out on those issues, don't you think? We're dealing with animals here. We're not dealing with level-headed people. We're dealing with people that are coming and looking to destroy us, destroy our culture, destroy our world. Again, I don't want to see boots on the ground. But we're talking Islamic terrorists here. These are savages. There was never going to be peace in the Middle East. You want it, you hope for it, you pray for it, but the reality is we're dealing with savages. I want to turn to something else. We're going to turn to clip 11 in just a second because Kentucky deserves better. Mitch McConnell's not doing very well. And he won't leave. He won't get out of the Senate. And I don't understand why, unless you have a lot of corruption-related issues and the deep state needs you there and they have used you and they're blackmailing you with something. But Mitch McConnell can't even walk on his own feet. In fact, throughout the airports, there's videos of him needing someone to help him get around airports. So you can only imagine what it's like in his home. He did take a tumble in his home. But yesterday when he was being asked questions, he took a tumble. Let's take a listen to clip 11.
My name is Stella. I want to ask, do you support ICE taking working people off the streets and kidnapping them?
Yeah. All right, move along. Move along. Nothing to see here. Don't look. Don't look. The optics of a walker obviously would be bad, my producer Matt just said. Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. How about we just let him go? Kick him out. I mean, at what point do we have to stop? What point do we sit there and say, okay, Congress isn't a nursing home. Get the heck out of here. Nancy Pelosi barely could speak. We played the video of her yesterday screaming. Her dentures are literally going to pop out of her face. And you see Mitch McConnell constantly taking tumbles. Can't even remember his sentence. That just is. This is embarrassing. If you truly love these people, you actually would stop all of this. You know, Dianne Feinstein, literally on her last breaths, was being wheeled in to the Senate. At what point do we say, all right, enough is enough? If you're a loved one to any of these individuals and you see that happening, how do you do that? How do you allow them to go out there and continue to take these tumbles, continue to fall, continue to embarrass themselves? If you truly love these people, you would take care of them. You'd let them enjoy their final years at home with their family, with their friends. You wouldn't embarrass them and allow people like Mitch McConnell to go out there and freeze up in front of the cameras like this. The guy's what, 84 years old? He doesn't belong in Congress. And age really isn't anything. My father is 80 and he is sharp as a tack. This shows a massive decline in health, and it's an absolute embarrassment that their families do not care or love them enough to pull them out of this mess. Save them. Dianne Feinstein was literally dying and they kept wheeling her in. Let her enjoy her final moments. Let her end her political career on a high note. But they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. Folks, I want to talk to you guys about a really disturbing story in Ohio. Like, it's really, really bad in Ohio right now. Because this one pissed me off. And the New York Post, I don't know how they posted this article out there with this type of a headline. The headline reads, two young Ohio children charged with attempted murder, rape. Okay, first off, they're not children. Technically, yeah, age-wise they are, but this is the same thing they do, the mainstream media, right? They get you an illegal, they say, oh, it's an Ohio man. What kind of child, and the details warning are going to be very graphic. What kind of child, children, multiple apparently, two apparently, according to the allegations, raped a five-year-old and then ripped her hair, so much of her hair out of her head, that she's literally missing the front of her hair right now. The details, I was fuming. Because if a child, two children could do this, there's no saving them. There's no saving them. Apparently the suspects are a 9-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl who were hit with a laundry list of crimes over shocking allegations of a September 13 attack on a little girl in Ohio. They literally scalped her. This 5-year-old girl was apparently staying with a family friend. She somehow got out of the house. And somehow, some way, these two kids, like, I hate saying kids because, like, when you do a crime as heinous, you're not a child. You are a monster. The mother found her, and she was obviously badly beaten. This girl thought she was killed when she woke up in the hospital. The mother pleading and just saying that her daughter literally thought she was killed. The details are like, it's hard not to get really upset about this when you read the details and what they're charged with. The two suspects have been charged with 4 counts of rape, kidnapping, trying to get the pop-up out of the way, attempted murder, another count of kidnapping, and 1 count of strangulation. What kind of demons are you raising when they do this to a 5-year-old child? Her life is probably forever ruined if she remembers what happened to her that day. Yeah, she got out of the house. Yeah, that family friend obviously wasn't doing what they should have been doing, supervising her, but you would never expect this type of heinous crime to be committed by children. Children. And the headline, again, like, what do you call them besides demons? I get it, and I'm being critical of the New York Post for saying children in the headline because it kind of brushes it off a little bit. But man, these aren't kids. These are demons. These are demons. To hurt a child, a 5-year-old child, and to be 9 and 10 years old and do this? repulsive. The mother, I mean, she's trying her best to hold it together, obviously. But is obviously distraught. And we get it. It's so hard to raise children nowadays, especially if you're a working mother. You have to leave your children with a loved one. You think that they're safe because you're leaving them with a family member. Don't know what happened with the family member. Apparently the kid just kind of walked out. But you don't think that your kid is going to come across demons. Absolute demons. You know, you pray for the child, but man, I don't know how she recovers from that at the age of 5. And what do you do here? What's the ramifications for the 9 and 10-year-old? I don't even understand how a child knows what rape is. Makes you wonder what the parents at home are showing these kids. How do you raise such demons when they find a 5-year-old child wandering the streets and a 9 and 10-year-old somehow, some way, allegedly commit rape, kidnapping, attempted murder? And apparently they tried to strangle her. There's no recovery for those 9 and 10-year-olds. No recovery. It's just hard to wrap your mind around this. And I truly hope that it did not destroy this 5-year-old's life, but it's really difficult to not see how that's possible after what they've had to endure. Absolutely devastating news. Let's shift gears a little bit. Go from like a super rough story to something very interesting. Let's talk voting machines, because we were told they're safe, we're told they're secure, we're told that they weren't doing anything suspicious behind the scenes. Well, according to the DOJ, and it started under, get this, the Biden administration, but U.S. prosecutors now say Smartmatic executives took briberies, and it was all in regards to the Philippines, their election. U.S. prosecutors have charged Smartmatic with money laundering and other crimes, and are alleging that they took over $1 million in bribes. Bribes were paid out, according to DOJ, 2015-2018, aimed to secure contracts for the 2016 Philippine presidential election. Now, interesting enough, if you forgot, Smartmatic had the gojones to go after, and they still are going after conservative, so-called conservative media outlets. Some of them settled, I believe. But they're going after Fox News for $2.7 billion for their defamation case. And again, settling a lawsuit like this, it doesn't mean that you're guilty of a crime. It means you can't continue to afford the legal bills in most cases. But we were told this wasn't happening. You were told that at home. Oh, trust the machines. They're safe. And I'm pretty sure a judge just went after Mike Lindell for criticizing the voting machines as well. But we were told they're safe. Now the DOJ, and it started under the Biden regime, remember that? We're told they're not so safe. But the ones here in the United States, yeah, those are fine. Don't worry about that. Just so far, only in the Philippines. Makes you wonder how big this issue truly is. Folks, in just a few moments, we're going to be joined by Roger Stone, who's going to react to the news about John Bolton being indicted. He just turned himself over to federal officials moments ago outside the courtroom. So Stone is going to join us to react to that. I want to remind you all, though, to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. In fact, it's not just right now. It's now, according to my notes for my producer. Because when you do, you're going to enter to win one of these sick rides. It is the last day to do so. With every purchase, you get an entry to this contest that we're giving away right now. So make sure you do just that. Plus, you could also potentially win $20,000. It's a great investment. One would say there's Chase Geyser enjoying. Oh, yeah, this is a pretty good endorsement. One of these rides could be yours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make a purchase. 25% off store-wide sale going on right now.
And look at him go. You okay?
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident and turned forward to the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT. Like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect, awakening Americans, people all over the world, InfoWars is the MVP. And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, defank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. It's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. And people say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that thealexjonesstore.com is not owned by me. And it's by the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Big Lee, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point-blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for our legal defense and staying on the air and expanding in the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there, buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many designs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Friday, everyone. It's a great Friday because, well, John Bolton has officially been indicted and was just forced to turn himself over to federal authorities. He appeared outside of a federal courthouse moments ago, and it's a good start for the accountability tour, of course, because John Bolton is one of the many who have been very critical of President Trump. In fact, when President Trump was being politically persecuted, Bolton would go out there and justify the political persecution on all of your favorite cable news channels. And I guess he thought it was going to buy him immunity, but apparently it didn't. In fact, he is one of the very first getting the accountability treatment. We're very thankful for that. It's an 18-count indictment. It's very serious. And I've read through all 26 pages, and it's An interesting one, because number one, the dinosaur apparently is using AOL email to shift around classified information, according to the DOJ, but also he's using Google as well. And last I checked, you can't do that. It's not authorized, but it goes into great detail about how far he was taking all of this. In fact, when he was working under President Trump, apparently, according to the indictment, he was actually plotting for his diary. That's according to the encrypted messages that the DOJ is talking about here towards individual one, individual two, which I assume is probably someone who's working on his book deal. So he was plotting behind the scenes for a very long time. That happening in 2018. Joining me to react to all of this is Roger Stone. Excited to have him on the show today because, Roger, we've been talking about this for a very long time now. We have another individual who has just now officially been indicted on 18 counts in the accountability tour is what I call it. Your reaction to him now just turning himself over to federal officials just moments ago?
Well, first of all, why didn't 29 heavily armed FBI agents in full SWAT gear and brandishing fully automatic M4 assault weapons storm his home at 6 o'clock in the morning, as happened to me? The crime that he's charged with, I should say, the crimes that he's charged with, far more serious than the alleged crime of lying to Congress under oath about Russian collusion that never actually happened. So you have to wonder about this disparity in the treatment. And then I wonder, given the fact that he was using both Google and AOL and transmitting classified documents, whether all of those journalists who went crazy about Pete Hegseth and others in a Signal chat using an unencrypted or using that encrypted platform to send non-classified information, are they going to go insane about Bolton's use of AOL and Google and his misuse of classified documents?
Yeah. Roger, that's a fair question to bring up, and I think it's really fascinating because the DOJ says back in 2018, so while Bolton was officially, when he's in his official role as national security advisor, that he in fact started a group message, an encrypted group message, a non-governmental messaging app was utilized here with individual two and individual one. And individual two specifically is asking, why are we using this now, the encryption? And individual one responds, yep, why not? And then Bolton apparently responds, for diary in the future. So it sounds like to me, and I'll let you sound off on this, it sounds like to me what we already knew, that Bolton behind the scenes was plotting something against the president. I mean, it sounds like to me he was plotting a book deal.
Yeah, what's particularly outrageous is when Donald Trump's home in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, was raided, theoretically because he had held on to classified documents, which the best lawyers in the country tell me under the Presidential Records Act, he was fully entitled to have. Among his harshest critics was John Bolton. How about that? So this is a pretty simple indictment. I'm not surprised that it came down. I would point out, however, that this does not relate in any way to the entire Russian collusion hoax, which, of course, is the greatest single dirty trick, the greatest single abuse of power and governmental authority in U.S. history. So while this may satisfy and please some within President Trump's base, I certainly think it's justice. It is not a substitute for the criminal indictment of James Comey on additional charges, John Brennan, James Clapper, Hillary Clinton herself, John Podesta, Jake Sullivan, Robert Mueller, Rod Rosenstein, Andrew Weissman, Susan Rice. I don't know if I mentioned General Clapper, but he ought to be in there. This is no substitute for the criminal indictments of these people who were involved in an illicit coup in an attempt to undo the results of the 2016 election, then subsequently involved in the hijacking of an election in America in 2020. And then lastly, of course, the two fake impeachments combined with the so-called documents case, which was a fraud to begin with as a part of Jack Smith's reign of terror.
Yeah, and Roger, it's great that you bring that up because I also wanted to ask you, you know, Mike Davis on Sunday was with my former boss, Maria Bartiromo, and he actually mentioned that he does believe that this is going to go all the way to the top based on the things that he's hearing behind the scenes. Do you think that any of those individuals are next on the potential indictment list?
Well, first of all, I think Mike Davis is right. There are some indications that there is a grand jury impaneled. There are some indications that there is a sitting U.S. attorney that is delving into those matters. My confidence that those involved are going to be held accountable and see justice has increased. It's interesting to watch the left with this constant refrain that Donald Trump has now weaponized the criminal justice system. He's using it to get his political enemies, and he wants to limit free speech. All of that, of course, is a perfect, almost exact description of what has happened to Donald Trump and his supporters over the last 12 years. So once again, it is Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, in which the left always accuses us of exactly what they themselves are doing. And this is really getting old, whether it's the New York Times or the Washington Post. Trump is out of control. He's on a revenge and retribution tour. No, it's not about revenge or retribution. It's about accountability and justice.
Yeah, and the indictment calls out John Bolton specifically for going on television quite often and specifically talking about classified documents and how to keep classified documents safe. And it's also interesting because we have like an arsenal of sound bites that we were going to play today. We played a couple in the beginning of the show, just found another one that I want to play for you. And it's John Bolton, I believe it was CNN, going on there and saying that none of this is political. That was when it was happening to President Trump, and that he just needs to go after the facts, even though the rest of us knew this was a political persecution. Take a listen.
You know, Republicans used to believe that not prosecuting criminals led to more crime. The answer here is take the politics out of the decision, and in this case, proceed with the prosecution, and do the same for anybody else who does anything even remotely like it. Just read the indictment and ask yourself, if the government can prove what they allege here, shouldn't this man go to jail? The simple fact he had the documents for any reason or no reason should subject him to prosecution.
Now, obviously, well, he knew better. But, Roger, do you think that they're going to be playing these types of clips at his criminal trial?
If the prosecutors are smart, they will. You know, I actually know John Bolton. When I was working for Ronald Reagan, he was working for Vice President George Bush, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we were in the same floating poker game. Interestingly, the other fellow that was involved in this poker game was Steph Helper, who was, of course, the cutout for the CIA, who helped set up both George Papadopoulos and Carter Page in London in the early stages of the Russian collusion hoax. I don't know much about his abilities as a diplomat, but when it comes to poker, John Bolton was kind of a fish.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. And speaking of that, too, I want to actually get your take on this before you go, because Tish James yesterday is pretending like this is a political retribution for her now that she has officially also been indicted. I want you to listen to clip five because she's trying to drum up the empathy for her. Take a listen.
The decision was based on the Administrative Procedure Act, an arbitrary and capricious act by this agency, an unlawful act. And so too is the indictment. It's baseless. It's nothing more than retribution for basically doing my job, for doing my job following a 2-year investigation and a congressional hearing. It wasn't political. It was based on facts and the application of the evidence. And the judgment was sustained. The amount of the disgorgement was what was dismissed. But the judgment remains. And so at this point in time, we will vigorously defend those charges, those baseless charges. My arraignment, as you know, is next Friday. I visit Norfolk quite frequently. My family is in Norfolk. I love my family. And I will defend these charges. And I want everyone to know that it is completely baseless and I am totally innocent.
All right. So she's trying to drum up the empathy, Roger. Are you buying it, though?
The charges are not baseless. She herself has prosecuted for people for doing exactly what she did. Let's be very clear. She signed a power of attorney in order to obtain a mortgage in Virginia in which she claimed that she and her niece would be the principal full-time residents of that location. That allowed her to get a lower mortgage rate, a lower interest rate, a lower insurance rate, and a tax break. That is, without any question, a crime. It was not a fill-in-the-blank or she checked the wrong box. She signed it in 12 different places, and it was witnessed by another lawyer. But this is, more importantly, just the latest in a 43-year spree of mortgage fraud. In her very first mortgage, she lied and said that her father was her husband in order to use his balance sheet to qualify for the mortgage. Then she later on got a federal mortgage for an investment property, which by law had to be 4 units or less. She said in her application that her location was 4 units. It was 5. Another fraud. She has three mortgages on this property in Virginia, totaling almost $400,000 for a property that is appraised at $100,000 to $150,000. So now let's look at her prosecution of Donald Trump. She prosecuted him under a law in which in the entire history of New York State, no one has ever been prosecuted. How's that for selective prosecution? And she claimed that he inflated the value of his assets in order to secure real estate loans, real estate development loans, which were paid back in full. And those who lent the money made $40 million in interest. Let's also be clear. This is just the beginning. Letitia James, I believe, has superseding charges coming at her regarding tax fraud and other issues. She's a criminal. When she says they are baseless, they are not baseless. If you or I did this, we would be charged. And again, she herself has charged and convicted people for doing exactly what she stands accused of.
Yeah, Roger, as a former New Yorker, it's exciting to sit back and watch these people be held accountable because sadly it wasn't going to happen at the state level. And they have just completely they destroyed their own elections. I mean, these Democrats have been able to successfully just create this fraud system in New York's elections that keep these folks in power. And so to see that we have now landed an indictment outside of New York, outside of that arena that they're so safe and protected in, is definitely exciting to see. And I do hope that accountability comes her way as well. Roger, I want to thank you for jumping on with us, especially because of the last minute. So thank you for being here.
Great to be with you, Brianna. God bless you and have a great day.
Thank you. God bless you too, my friend. We appreciate it. Folks, I want to let you know what's going on right now at the White House because I've just received an update in regards to Zelensky's appearance at the White House. He is meeting with President Donald J. Trump today at 1 p.m. They're going to be meeting and having lunch in the cabinet room. And then they will be before the cameras around 3 p.m. Eastern time, it looks like. So we will keep our eye on that. We're following all of that because, again, President Trump is hyper-focused on creating peace between both Russia and Ukraine, and both sides now agreeing to come to the table and negotiate the end of this brutal, brutal war. Thousands of Russian and Ukrainian men killed in all of this. It was preventable, of course, that the Biden administration had any actual goals of creating peace and to stop all of this. But, of course, the warmongers had to have this war. And so now President Trump gearing up to end this war. It's been incredible to sit back and watch thus far, though. And we're excited for all of this. Now, as I mentioned, President Trump announced yesterday that Vladimir Putin, after a phone conversation, it took about 2 hours for them to negotiate all of this. But Vladimir Putin will be heading to Budapest to negotiate the end of this war. And we're thankful that we're almost over the horizon again. I mean, he just ended the war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas just a couple of days ago. And now he's moved on and made this his main focus. This might have been actually a significantly tougher war to conclude. And a lot of people are just scratching their heads wondering, how was he able to do that? He was able to do that because, of course, people respect President Trump. That's something that most of these guys don't even know what it means. I mean, Joe Biden was not someone who was well-respected by world leaders. We saw that front and center, constantly tripping in front of them, not knowing where he was going. And now we have a president who is well-respected and feared across the world. But most don't want you to see the fear in their eyes because they know any sign of weakness, President Trump will jump all over that. So we're excited to see that we're inching a little bit closer and closer to this peace agreement. Now, again, Zelensky, according to the details we're receiving, spent the night last night in D.C. This is his third time making an appearance at the White House with President Trump, currently in his term. And again, the focus here is going to be concluding all of this. And, you know, President Trump obviously also telling the media again that we need tomahawks for the United States of America, a lot of them. So I don't know what we can do about that. That was a quote that was given in appearance yesterday as well when he was talking about Ukraine and the U.S. apparently seeking more and more tomahawks. So Ukraine was asking for more tomahawks, and that is how President Trump responded. This is the press pool details that are coming out. So we're getting more and more information, of course, and it looks like President Trump was not looking to give the tomahawks to Ukraine, in fact saying that we need those tomahawks. So President Trump making this his main focus, and we're excited about that. I also want to focus on a couple of other key things that are happening today. Obviously, we keep talking about the indictment that was just landed. Of course, we're very excited about this because there's a lot going on for John Bolton these days. John Bolton, again, appearing in front of a federal court today. And it's interesting because, you know, we're going through all of this and everything John Bolton lectured the rest of this country on, he apparently is being accused of. He's apparently being accused of. By the way, we're going to be waiting for Mel Kay is joining us in just a few moments, and she is probably going to sound off because she has been following this for quite some time now. And this is one of the very first individuals who needs to be held accountable. So we're sure she will be ready to sound off on that in just a few moments, joining me in studio for that. But a lot happening. We want to also make sure that you guys are paying attention to the other things that are not front and center right now. Now, yesterday I did mention this briefly, and we did finally get kind of like an AI dialogue of what was happening behind the scenes. So as many of you guys know, we reported it yesterday on the show, Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna said that she was receiving from Russian authorities documents regarding the RFK assassination. Well, they've made that public, and when you kind of put it through AI and you kind of understand what was actually in these documents, it's nothing too significant. Ultimately, it's just kind of going over JFK's, his relationship with the Soviet-American relationship. It highlights that. It also details those officials in the Soviet Union, what their reaction to seeing his assassination was. So it's nothing bombshell. It's nothing bombshell, as we can see now. Now, again, we're trying to sift through it all. It is a lot. It's hundreds and hundreds of pages. But as of right now, there's really nothing bombshell into this. And I know I told you yesterday we were going to give you the update. So not much here, unfortunately, being handed over. But, of course, it is available for public consumption now. So you guys could all at home even dig through it yourselves and see if you see anything. But nothing bombshell, which is kind of discouraging. So we will continue to follow that as well, of course. Again, we were talking earlier in the show about what's going on in New York City right now. New York City is dealing with a hostile Islamic takeover, and it's resulted in Zohran Mahdani grabbing the leash. And now, sadly, he is probably going to win the election. I looked last night, and the polling numbers are definitely in his favor, and it's very discouraging as a New Yorker to see. Former New Yorker, I should say, because this isn't the guy you want leading the city. You know he's going to destroy it. And if it couldn't get any worse with previous leaders, you know that he's going to completely nuke whatever is left over in the city of New York. And it's sad. It's sad. Now, Mug Club Undercover obtained audio recordings of one of his campaign advisors, one of his directors, and it's not looking too good. I mean, they're openly bragging about using members of the LGBT community who obviously aren't the brightest, using them in mosques. I mean, it's insane. I didn't even know that there were more than 100 mosques throughout New York City. You know, when I worked at ESPN, I was working one day and I couldn't get into the office, actually. And it was because everyone's cabs just suddenly stopped. They were lined up along the city streets, but you couldn't get around them. And so it created a massive traffic jam. I didn't understand what was going on until I got out of my car to see what the heck was going to happen in here. I got to get to work. And I realized apparently it's prayer time. And so the rest of us have to stop what we're doing and they have to just get out of their car and pray. Now, I was listening to an interesting soundbite when they went over this. And I said, they don't do this in Islamic countries. They do it in countries that they are not native of because they want to assert their religious power, their dominance over you and I. And so that's what they're doing when they sit there and they stop New York City traffic to go pray. They're asserting their dominance, their takeover. That's exactly what's happening in New York City. I had no idea that there were over 100 mosques in New York City. The Islamic takeover, the millions of Muslims who have come into this country over the last few years is insane. I was looking at the last, I think it was at 5 years, there was over 6 million. Don't quote me on that. That was something that I was speed reading through. But what has happened to New York City? When you're looking at a communist like Zohran Mamdani, and this is your best guy. Now, again, Mug Club Undercover uncovered massive, massive behind the scene kind of influence within his campaign. And you've learned. They've been plotting this for a very long time now. They have been plotting Mamdani running for mayor way before any of us knew about it. I believe he said 2014 was when they decided that Mamdani was going to run. Now, obviously, this is a campaign director, probably not going to have a job very soon, because he seems to brag about a lot of things. But it's interesting. It's interesting. When they think there's no cameras, what they specifically say. The fact that Zohran Mamdani thought last night that saying Andrew Cuomo has never been to a mosque and that somehow disqualifies him as mayor is pretty insane, right? Because here I am listening to him, I'm like, oh, he sounds qualified for me if you've never been inside of a mosque. Any sane New Yorker who understands what happens when Islam takes over would probably support that. But of course, they don't like it. See, they want to take over cities like New York City, and how devastating it would be for the rest of us to have to sit back and watch that. And again, the Mug Club Undercover footage, the stuff that they have released currently, it's more's coming out later. It's interesting to sit there and listen about how they're talking about how Mamdani gets a police escort. 5-6 officers follow him. The guy who wanted to defund the police because he thought you shouldn't have security. You shouldn't have safety. No, he gets his own police force to protect him. Because you're garbage. But he needs to be protected. The guy who wants to close down prisons, who's advocating to close down prisons, the guy who wants to take police off the streets. You are useless, but him, he needs to be protected. The guy who's never actually had a job, he needs to be protected. This is the communist garbage they're shoving down our throats. And folks, you better start waking up because it's not just happening in New York City. It's happening everywhere else. Even in Georgia, there's a candidate running for Atlanta mayor. And there's also another one running for governor as well, trying to at least, floating the idea around. You got to wake up because this is how it starts. All you have to do is look across the pond and see how it's going for them. Not going well. And you can't speak up now. They pulled your guns away from you. They've outnumbered you. And it's a brutal group of people who we've now imported. So keep your eyes open. It's not just New York City. It's happening everywhere. All right, folks, don't go anywhere because we're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. And guess who's here? Miss Mel Kay. She's joining us in studio. Of course, we're very excited about this because we've got a whole hour to unpack with her. And there's a lot in this John Bolton stuff that we've got to talk about. So don't go anywhere. More to unpack next.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because, I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Democratic frontrunner Zohran Mamdani is facing growing scrutiny over his campaign finances. According to reports by right-wing media outlets, Mamdani's campaign accepted donations from foreign sources, which would be a direct violation of U.S. election law. The controversy comes just weeks before Election Day and has raised fresh questions about transparency, accountability, and the flow of money into American politics. Now, under U.S. election law, candidates are strictly prohibited from accepting campaign funds from non-U.S. citizens or foreign residents. Yet new findings suggest that Zohran Mamdani's mayoral campaign received nearly $13,000 from foreign donors, including a contribution from his mother-in-law in Dubai.
What happens if Mamdani wins? What happens to $700,000 above asking? Does that go to $1 million above
it's
asking?
It's going to keep going up. I mean, this is a great time to be a seller. That's my pitch today.
Gradually, America's waking up to calls to prayer and the smell of halal incense burning in the shadows of Lady Liberty. The Islamic invasion of America isn't some fever dream cooked up in a Bilderberg back room. It's now live and unfolding right now before your very eyes, block by block, mosque by mosque.
I find that there are only two things which are open to our movements. Ballot or bullet, nothing in between.
I used to say that democracy is haram. Now I say participation in democracy is our jihad. That's our jihad. We're going to fight not through the bullets, but the ballots.
Going to the ballot and voting is now an obligatory action, fard ayn. And it is a jihad that is now needs to be done, because this is our modern jihad. You can elect a person who wants the sharia.
Because in the United States, what we do know is that in the past election, just this last election, there have been over 800 Muslim candidates running for office.
We may end up with about 50 members of Congress in the next 6 years. That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Approximately 71% of foreign-born Muslims arrived after 1990, with a significant surge after 2000. Over the last decade, from 2015 to 2025, U.S. immigration data indicates about 6.6 million total foreign-born arrivals since 2018, with Muslims making up a small but growing share, including roughly 3 million Muslim immigrants arriving between 2020 and 2025 amid global displacement, or the United Nations Replacement Migration Plan. Peel back the veil of multiculturalism and you'll see the blueprint laid bare in the unredacted files of the Muslim Brotherhood's Explanatory Memorandum, a 1991 roadmap to settle America through immigration, infiltration, and the slow boil of Sharia supremacy.
We not want to melt into American society and disappear. We want to go into American society with Islamic ideals and revamp their thinking. We want to revamp them.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood Plan for North America, written in 5/22/1991. This is about their explanation on how they're going to take over the West, their 100-year plan to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts to Muslim Americans and Muslim organizations in America, raising money in the United States and sending it overseas to support terrorist activity overseas. And it says, the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religion.
The founding fathers didn't bleed at Bunker Hill for a demi dystopia. Their numbers are small and will remain small for at least another decade. Don't believe their hype. Don't give in to the fear. God bless you and God save the Republic while we still can. John Bowne reporting for
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. Not alone. I'm joined by Mel Kay, host of the Mel Kay Show and the author of Americans Anonymous. It's so good to see you here, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to join you anywhere, particularly in person.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to have you here because we normally are virtual, so it's good. And we were former neighbors in West Palm Beach, so it's refreshing to see you here. So thank you for jumping on. I actually wanted to bring breaking news to our audience right now because I just got this push alert. The FBI has arrested a suspect in Louisiana who's being accused of participating in Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack on Israel. In the affidavit, it's charging this man who apparently is not a citizen because he's being charged with misusing visa and permits and other documents, but he's being accused of handing over material and information to Hamas. Now, the details are still unknown right now. It's a very brief detail we just got. So we don't know the details to all of this, but, you know, Mel, we talk about this all the time. We know damn well that they brought sleeper cells into the United States, thousands of them, and the Trump administration now has to sift through all of this and get them out.
Well, what Brigitte Gabriel was talking about before the show came on has been going on since the 90s.
Yeah.
We have to understand that first. There was a New Mexico cell that was busted a long time ago. But frankly, with the open border over the last 4 years, it is... You know, many people say that there's over 1,000 cells all over the country. They took in 60,000 Afghanis after the disastrous withdrawal. And, you know, the American people have to start to understand that for 4 years they were lied to about the border. And it's far worse than anyone can imagine. And frankly, there are also 300,000 plus children out there that need to be found. So all these people that are going nuts about ICE going in, particularly the blue cities where they landed, do not understand the big picture. The bigger picture is the danger our country is in. There are a lot of children out there in terrible danger that they need to find. There are, I mean, we have slavery going on all over this country and factories and everywhere. You want to believe that everyone's moral and good. Well, that is not what is going on. And frankly, the controlled demolition of America And the need for that is far bigger than America. We are the last stand for freedom. They need to destroy our country, our constitution, our Bill of Rights. And frankly, right now, white people are the minority on planet Earth. Okay. So they can keep going and going with all of their back and forth about minorities and this and that. They want to make America, minority white. This is something that even Joe Biden said back in, you know, when he was vice president. Bill Clinton made a speech saying that by, you know, I guess he was saying 2020 or whatever, America would be less than 50% white. We know what's going on in the Middle East right now is not necessarily what we think is going on there. There's a real reconfiguring of the world. And frankly, the American people have to understand that we have been deceived on a mass scale, and we have to start acting like we care about this country. And that means every individual citizen has to start to evaluate who exactly they are, what they are, and what they believe in. And if they believe in this country and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the promises made about this country in, you know, 250 years ago almost, then they have to start acting like founders themselves and saying enough's enough in their local neighborhoods. We cannot count on the government in D.C. to save this country. That is not what's going to happen. It has to be local people getting together and, you know, collaborating, working with local police, working with local sheriffs, communities, really taking back the communities one community at a time.
Yeah, and you do that. You walk people through that in your book as well.
Yeah, you mentioned
Americans Anonymous, which is available on Amazon. I think it's really important for folks at home. You got to come up with a plan, and you got to work on this yourselves, because again, as Mel just said, the federal government is not the one that's going to save you. You are the only ones who are going to save you, and we all need to be strongly relying on just that. Mel, I want to kind of shift things over a little bit to John Bolton.
Yes.
Because obviously this is a great day. The accountability tour has just kicked off officially. Long overdue. We've been, you know, kind of waiting patiently, but John Bolton just being indicted on 18 counts, and then he had to shuffle his way into a federal courthouse today. Not really arrested or getting the Roger Stone treatment. We actually had Roger on the program just a few moments ago, too, and I wanted to get him on because, you know, my heart's with him, somebody who had to endure the full force of the federal government for charges that weren't as significant as what Bolton is currently facing. But this guy has been lecturing the rest of us, John Bolton I'm referring to, about classified documents, because he thought that it was okay for him to come out there on CNN, MSNBC, and to say, oh, look what President Trump is accused of, classified documents, this is so bad. And he went there, and I guess he thought it was buying him immunity, but that's not the case. His indictment's very detailed. It ultimately says that they found classified material in both his home and his office. It goes on to say that even when he was working for the administration, that he started a encrypted messaging app. And within that encrypted messaging app, he spoke to individual one, individual two. And he openly said that he was starting this encrypted app to start his diary, which ultimately is the book that was called into question. And the judge was ripping him a new one, saying, getting really close to releasing classified information. He just kept saying, oh, it's my notes. It's my notes. Doesn't look like that is the case. Your reaction to the indictment?
Well, first of all, Trump should never allowed him into the first term. Many people were upset about it, including myself. Second, and more importantly, is to look at who has been paying John Bolton all these years, particularly the NGOs, the think tanks, all of that. It all lines up with a long-term strategy that they did not want to veer from, in my opinion. Donald Trump was not supposed to win. When he did, their entire global strategy, which basically, you know, started decades ago, but really the Project for a New American Century, was the full spectrum dominance military plan that then was played out after 9/11, and John Bolton was a big fan of that. The other disturbing part is that Iran, obviously, it looks like, hacked into his unsecured email, and who knows what they got on him. And frankly, we have an entire government that is either compromised or their family members have been, you know, in positions to get a lot of money. They work for think tanks. They work for NGOs. They work for lobbyists. The biggest problem is this money and this military-industrial complex thing that has all these NGOs like RAND and Atlanta Council and all of these different groups that are always giving papers and telling them, and it's always about war and war. Well, war is for profit, and we know this. And John Bolton, obviously, we're going to have to really dig into, as we go forward, the financial backing of him, where he was working, where he was talking, because the Iranian part of this is disturbing enough, as we know, when the O'Biden presidency came in and the Autopen presidency, there were a lot of people that were attached to Iran that were in the State Department there, that were in there, Malley and other people. A lot of travel was going on during Trump's first term, back and forth with John Kerry and Iran. I frankly think that the entire first Trump term, that they were still running the Obama-Brzezinski long-term game of Third World War towards that and arming Ukraine and other places to go into where we are now, expecting Hillary Clinton to come in and kick off that whole thing. Well, where we are now is that the United States of America has to make a choice. Who are our actual allies and who has he been working with? Because I believe this will all go back to Russiagate as well, because it is my belief that not only was Russiagate about taking out Trump, but it was also to stop Trump and anyone else from finding out the long-term goals of Ukraine, because Obama, as you know, overthrew Ukraine in 2014. They put in their own government. Basically, we've been funding them ever since. Victoria Nuland testified that we were basically running their entire government, their military, their police, everything, civil service since 2014. And here comes Trump, and they don't want him to know anything. And he was complicit, John Bolton for sure. But there's a lot of other people. And frankly, I think that, you know, he said that he wanted Julian Assange put to death and Edward Snowden put to death and all that. And look at what he was doing the whole time. This is how they work. They accuse the other of what they're doing. And John Bolton deserves every bit of what's coming to him. He has been nothing but a warmonger. And I frankly believe he's compromised and has been for years. He never should have been in that first term. But as we know, many people shouldn't have. And again, you know, there's other people like Pompeo and Pence and other saboteurs from that first term that'll be seen. And as I said, I believe that West's exec advisors were Anthony Blinken and Flournoy and Monaco and Haynes and Jen Psaki. They were all running foreign policy while Donald Trump was in office for the Obama continuation. And they fully believed that they would get Trump out in 2020, Transition Integrity Project, Plandemic, by any means necessary to continue down the path of World War III, which is where we are now.
Okay, so we heard from Mike Davis earlier on Sunday, actually. He was on with Maria Bartiromo, and he said that he believes that these indictments that we're currently seeing are going to make their way to the top. They're going to go all the way to the top. Are you confident with this current DOJ that we're going to see accountability?
Well, I certainly hope so. All I know is that over the years, and certainly I've done many shows with Kash Patel about it and other people, there is a grand conspiracy that is very easy to see. And frankly, a lot of what we are seeing right now goes back before Donald Trump. So there is Russiagate, but there's also Spygate. And Spygate is something that not enough people are paying attention to, which started with Obama and Holder getting in there and then targeting people through the IRS, targeting people, making deals with the Five Eyes nations and exploiting the NSA database. And that was being done for multiple years. And that was all about anyone that was against the Obama fundamental transformation of America, the globalist ideology. People don't even realize that Obama signed us on to a nation state ending supranational plan called Agenda 2030 in 2015. Trillions of dollars of his friends from BlackRock and Goldman and Hollywood went into the planning of achieving Agenda 2030 by the end of the second term of the Autopen presidency. So again, we got saved again, but what are the American people going to do about it? Because frankly, we have a bunch of traitors. And as you know, I believe that our country was usurped and totally taken over by the supranational banks and international public-private partnerships that are now represented by the World Economic Forum and the UN and all of these tentacles. This was built right after World War II in place for a World War III, for a resurgence of the idea of World War II, which was a united Third Reich, was a united Europe, no Russia. Brzezinski was obviously the advisor behind Obama wanting to go to that route again. And frankly, we are paying for that right now. NATO should never have expanded. It should have ended. There's so much going on that has been like lied about. And frankly, people should know that George Soros in 1993 wrote a document that is still on the Open Society website. It's called NATO World Order, okay? And NATO was supposed to end. And frankly, George Soros and his relationship with the Clintons, well, just after George Soros put out that, you know, NATO World Order to the world, because he's embedded all over the place, Bill Clinton started expanding NATO. Well, why would you be doing that if you weren't? Now they're totally surrounding Russia. If they were totally surrounding America, we'd have a problem with it. But the problem is that this is a globalist plan. And Agenda 2030 is an end of nation states. And even at the very end, Goebbels was known to say, well, there will be no nation states in the future. You know, I look back at the end of World War II. You know, I'm writing a new book about 1944 to 1954. That's when I think the United States and the rest of the world was captured by a global public-private partnership and an international banking cartel that during that time gave themselves all immunity. So all of these tentacles, all of this money, and frankly, Brianna, in my research, I feel that the American people not only have been lied to and looted and deceived and betrayed on a massive scale, but I frankly believe that the American people, through our taxpayer dollars and our major debt, have been paying for not just the decades-long Cold War, the war on communism, where the definition changed, but the American people, the American taxpayers, the American middle class have paid for the entire adventure of the war on terror, which, of course, is a tactic, not a enemy, that was turned on the American people as domestic terrorists. But then you go even further. We have paid for the entire globalist operation since, you know, Clinton was down there in Rio kicking off the global warming, the global pandemic, the global this. So we are at a place where the American people have to decide, did we win the Revolutionary War? Are we a sovereign nation that is separate from the rest of the world and charting our own course? Or are we still part of Europe?
Yeah. Well, Mel, I mean, there's a lot of people who are asking those questions still to this day. I know you're doing a great job at research and digging all this up. And I look forward to seeing your next book because you're doing an incredible job with that. You know, we've been updating our audience throughout the show, too, because obviously President Trump, which pisses off all the right people, is looking to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. And later today, he is going to be doing just that by meeting with Zelensky. Now, this is a big one. I've been following the White House emails going out. He's expected to be meeting with Zelensky today at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which we're very excited to see and hear from. But this is big news because we also heard from the president after getting on a phone call with Putin that they're going to be going to Budapest and negotiating possibly the end of this war. And that is something that so many Americans have been waiting for. We are tired of seeing all these Russian-Ukrainian men being killed and slaughtered out there for these globalists, these warmongers who have been egging this on. Your reaction to President Trump, not just ending the war between Israel and Hamas, but now looking like he's going to end the war between Russia and Ukraine.
Well, first of all, we have to understand the war with Russia and Ukraine has been a complete and total lie. Okay. What Donald Trump should do is go back and honor the Minsk Accords, because we know that Merkel came out later and said that they were laughing, that they were never going to honor the Minsk Accords. They just wanted more time to arm Ukraine. Like I said, this whole thing was plotted and planned back in the 90s. All Donald Trump has to do is go look at George Soros' NATO World Order. I'm very happy that Viktor Orban is hosting this. Frankly, Viktor Orban and everyone else that is on the side of freedom, on the side of sovereignty, on the side of ending the war, they are being attacked, obviously, by our media. But if you did not notice last week, Barack Obama did a whole show about, of course, straight out of the Lawfare King, Norm Eisen's Color Revolution playbook. Obama did a whole show about all of the authoritarian countries in the EU that are a problem, including Hungary and Poland and Romania, all the countries that want peace. And that is because there was a long-term plan, I believe, to have a third world war, to destroy Russia. And frankly, it's not going to happen. And it's ill-conceived anyway to normalize relations with Russia. First of all, we could finally do the long awaited and planned and I think very positive Bering Straits tunnel. Okay. That's a very big deal. Second of all, what is going on in Israel and also in Ukraine is funded by the same people on both sides. They don't care how many people dies. It's not about either of those nations at all. It is a lot of it is about trade routes and maritime routes and land. And frankly, it does appear to me most people don't know that Zelensky went to, first of all, Zelensky was chosen by Victoria Nuland. Yes. At first. Second of all, Kolomoisky and other oligarchs from Ukraine were pushing this. They are partners of people like George Soros. They are partners of people that want a fourth iteration of trying to unite Europe without Russia, which is completely insane. And more than that, I think, is really that On planet Earth right now, nobody really wants their children to go fight wars that are for profit, because the truth about a World War III is the consolidation after. After World War I and after World War II, what happened? They tried to consolidate power into one supranational global governance model. It failed with the League of Nations because the American people still had real journalism, and the American people said, no, we're not giving up our sovereignty. Well, after World War II, which I frankly am not sure that the Nazis lost, it doesn't appear that way to me at this point, they started down the path of the EU and a unified Europe, and I believe that everything that is going on right now is to achieve that. And then, of course, after the war, then the Reconstruction will come. Again, the American people were looted and lied to about the Marshall Plan. We paid for the creation of the EU. We paid for the creation of the euro. We paid for all of this. The United States taxpayer. We have to decide that enough's enough. We need to have our sovereignty back. We should get the tentacles, which I believe is part of Donald Trump's bigger picture of the international banks, all the way up to the Bank of International Settlements, out of our country. They are controlling us from above. And also, we have a global public-private partnership, but we have our own parent company running America right now. And they, too, want war. Why? Because after war, they can consolidate power. They can put us on the global public infrastructure. They can terrorize us into submission. And that is the goal. And once they get America, they get the world. Because Trump would say, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm in the way. I say, they're not after America. They're after the entire world, and our Constitution and Bill of Rights is in the way.
Yeah, and I think it's clear as day that that's what's going on right now. And, you know, you said that you're seeing signs of President Trump understanding what these efforts are. Specifically, what are you seeing right now?
Well, what I see more than anything are that he has better advisors around him. These aren't the old school warmongers. You know, we really have to do something. Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex and their relationship with the international banking cartel. But at the same time, that also includes the international pharmacy and oil and everything else. I think Donald Trump, first of all, believes, as I believe, that the farewell address of George Washington was what this country was supposed to be. And in 1913, under Wilson, we got infiltrated first by the international banks. My belief is, frankly, that the king was like, come home, we'll just control them financially. Mm. But what a lot of people don't know is, as the Nazis were failing in World War II, in tandem with a lot of our industrialists, a lot of international banks, including Wall Street, including the City of London, well, they started planning for the next iteration of the rise of this international class. And they've gotten very close, but the pandemic was a complete failure for them. Because, frankly, it woke up more people than it caught, than it captured. And Donald Trump, I think, is surrounded now by people that actually not only want peace, but also understand the history of how we got here. And my biggest thing is, go back to the Minsk agreement, sign that thing, agree to that, and let's shut it down, and let's have a prosperous future with peace and end the wars. And that means also the military-industrial complex must be dealt with. It is a financial juggernaut. They should not also be on Wall Street while getting hundreds of billions of dollars. And frankly, a lot of the work being done at the Pentagon is obsolete. Okay, we don't need that kind of budget anymore. It's a fraud. So we really do need to start looking at our military. First of all, I like that he changed it to Department of War, because who are we defending? Yeah. Second, the 800 bases around the world where they don't want us. Why are we there? You know, we just have to look at the future, maybe. And this is our opportunity, because these people, these global communists, that's what they are, global socialist communists. They want us all on this global public infrastructure that would capture the entire world. It is already built. It was already built when Trump came in. I know everyone's saying, well, now that Trump's here, it's like in Palantir and Oracle and Musk. It was built a long time ago. You know, a lot of the infrastructure bill under the auto president had ledger technology and satellites and all this stuff, biometrics. All of that was already in the mix. So now the American people have to decide where the Constitution lies, where the Bill of Rights lies, and if we are really the people that run this country, and we have to start acting like it, because there's not enough people in America that bother running for office locally to stop this, to take out the tentacles of the no-bid contracts and the international organizations and the, you know, just all the crime and fraud. And the biggest thing we have to do is take money out of elections. So you know what? The American people are the problem, but they're also the solution, and I really hope that they understand that, because this is not happening by accident. This is happening because American people are not used to, and they have been dumbed down. You know, in my book, I say that Americans Anonymous is restoring power to the people one citizen at a time. The country is as sick as our secrets, because we don't know the truth about anything for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
And once they killed JFK and got away with it and then put out the Warren Commission report and shut everyone down, the entire intelligence apparatus that went on steroids after the unconstitutional Patriot Act, has been running rogue with the State Department, and they don't have any concern for the people of the United States of America. It's time to take back all these agencies and all these people and all these places and put them back in service of us.
Yeah, no, it is time. And Mel, you know, we're going to hit a commercial break in just a second, but when we come back, we're going to talk Muslim Brotherhood. I also want to get your take on the report regarding Saudi Arabia and how we might have a defense pact coming very, very soon. That's coming from the Financial Times. And I also want to talk to you about Arctic Frost, because that was a big one, too. That's not getting enough attention. But, folks, if you're at home right now, I'm going to need you to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, because for just a couple more hours, we're going to be doing that sick giveaway. You see those sick rides, those sick cars? Well,
wow.
Folks, this is your very last time to be able to enter into this contest. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you could possibly win one of these rides plus $20,000. And it gets even better. We're extending that 25% off site-wide sale right now. And a free nitric boost is being given out on all orders. So now is the time to support us and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because every time you make a purchase over there, you're helping fund our very next operation. And also, Chase got this really cool video, and so we should give you no reason to play it. But folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com today and support us and keep us up and running. We appreciate it. Mel Kay is going to be with us for a little bit longer, so don't go anywhere.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day,
right,
and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly, I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly, like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Woo!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning. And it's a glorious day. The Accountability Tour is here. We've been waiting for this. We've been demanding it. Mel Kay also here joining me in studio, and it's an honor to have you, lady.
Thank you.
We used to be neighbors, and then I ventured off into Texas, and you know, now we're back, we're reunited, and it feels good. It feels great, actually. You know, Mel, we joke about it all the time, but we were sitting back for a while. I know I was, and I was like, when are these arrests coming? When are these arrests coming? And so we're finally getting there with some light indictments here and there, which we're excited about, but we're learning more about how deep all of this goes, right? Like how badly the deep state operatives wanted to go after President Trump. And they were doing so by going about getting subpoenas and targeting his close allies. Arctic Frost is what, you know, we're very thankful to all the information that's coming out right now detailing how they wanted to target him for J6. And I mean, eight senators get swept up into it, and they're, you know, one of them we do like, obviously, Tommy Tuberville, but the others are all like Lindsey Graham going around the country and saying, oh, look at us. They were surveilling us, listening to our phone calls, recording. They're coming up with all these crazy things. And I'm like, hello, for the last 4 years, the American people have been dealing with this themselves personally. Nobody gave a damn about them. Right. But now because it's you, Lindsey Graham, all of a sudden now he's saying Americans should be upset because a senator was surveilled illegally. No. I was upset when it was happening to innocent Americans like the J6ers. You getting swept up into it to me is just karma at this point because you failed to speak up for them. You know, I'm so tired of that, Mel. What's your reaction when you see all these people like Lindsey Graham going out there and wanting empathy from the American people, but when they needed help, when the government was coming after them under the Biden regime, they were nowhere to be found.
Well, let's be honest. We were all betrayed with the passing of the Unconstitutional Patriot Act. Yeah. And since then, it has been weaponized over and over. And then once Obama and Holder came in, it was no holds barred. And frankly, they fired almost all of anyone that was against their ideology and hired a whole bunch of people from the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, put them all in the Civil Rights Division and other divisions. This is not a surprise. And like I said, the bigger picture is more. Remember when they were spying on us under Obama, the IRS, they got all the NGOs that were supporting conservatives and basically spied on all those people, then brushed it under the rug. Obama puts in one of his loyalists to go into the IRS to hide all that. What's scarier is that there is an IG report out there. First of all, there's a report that we have not seen that has not been declassified. It's Judge Collier, Rosemary Collier. It's a 99-page report on the spying of American citizens against, you know, all of us. It's a conspiracy, in my opinion. And we have never seen that. So the Obama administration was spying on the American people on a massive scale well before they started bumping Donald Trump in 2016. Republican candidates, well before they found out about Hillary Clinton and they took that ball and ran. The Arctic Frost is disturbing, but again, our government is completely out of control. They continue to push the warrantless surveillance 702, which has been used against all of us. And as I said in April of 2024, I said, if they pass the warrantless surveillance 702, we are looking at Crossfire Hurricane 2.0, and that is exactly what happened here. And frankly, that is, these are all just completely completely against the Constitution. This is not a government that is working for us if they continue to make it easier and easier to spy on the American people without their knowledge. And they do this. So when Lindsey Graham and all of them cried because the warrantless 702 surveillance was maybe going to end and Donald Trump wanted it to end, well, guess what? They got exactly what they paid for. And frankly, if you have bad people, look, what did, I think it was Madison that said our government, our Constitution was for moral people. Well, we don't have a lot of moral people. And frankly, I believe that the entire Obama administration and Clinton administration and both Bush administrations committed so many crimes against the people of the United States of America. And then they got away with it always using reasons of national security. Well, we have to realize the National Security Act that created the National Security Agency, but also the CIA, was always about surveilling us. Mm-hmm. The warrantless surveillance 702, that's not new. The Unconstitutional Patriot Act was about surveilling us. It was actually in Hillary Care, the Patriot Act, before it was presented after 9/11. And then it was tried again by Bill Clinton and Omnibus and was not passed. Then after 9/11, we were all down and out. And suddenly we have a surveillance state, and it has only gotten worse and worse. And then Obama, of course, was, you know, aligning with big tech. Now we have the Five Eyes agencies that can look into any of us at any time. And frankly, we have to start dismantling that, too. The international spy network, the fraud that is the whole entire apparatus, is all about the end game, which has always been a one world top down global public private partnership, supranational situation that actually there are no nation states. There are no sovereign nations. And we are on the cusp of that. Look at what's happening in Europe right now. The people that want their sovereignty are called authoritarians. And the people that want the Fourth Reich are called, you know, the heroes of democracy. I mean, it's a totalitarian situation in the EU already. And that is what we're dealing with. So for me, Arctic Frost is the least of the problems that have happened with surveilling American citizens. They also got 30 million taps and 30 million requests. But also, look, they had an NSA database in Perkins Coie, the law firm, where Lawfare all came from. All of these Lawfare over the last 4 years have all been a conglomerate between the U.S. and, it appears, England, London. Don't forget, you got Halper, you got Dearlove, you got all these people that were in contact in MI6, in contact with Gina Haspel when she was running that London office, working with Brennan, working with Obama. So they also made it so that the whole Five Eyes nations can spy on us at will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is going on in America? The Constitution and the Bill of Rights has been completely shredded since 9/11. And frankly, it hasn't helped anyone. It's made our country far worse as they ship everything overseas. So, you know, the American people, like I said, these are things that we have to solve locally and county-wise and state-wise and have a ripple effect around the country. And if all these blue states are completely captured, well, you know what? That is where we are. And we have to start thinking about what Lincoln had to do, because we are close. They're going to push for secession next and all this. And guess who wins? The globalist public-private partnership and the international banking cartel that is running every operation on this planet right now to achieve polycrisis so that, of course, we the people surrender to them and beg them for help. Well, I'm not going to do that, and I hope you're not either.
No, I don't plan on doing that anytime soon, Mel, and I know you aren't. So that's the good news here. Mel, I just want to kind of interrupt a little bit and just say that we've just received word that John Bolton has pleaded not guilty in court right now. He was among a federal judge who was appointed by President Trump Timothy Sullivan today. So just moments ago, he walked out of the courthouse or courtroom, I should say, told the judge he understands the charges that are against him, and then pleaded not guilty. So we're continuing to follow this as it develops. Of course, John Bolton, no mugshot yet. Don't know if we'll get one. Hope we will. We could really use some new merch here, of course. So that would be a solid one, but we'll continue to watch it as it develops. You know, I want to switch a little bit now to the Middle East, because we saw something last Friday that wasn't very, didn't sit well with a lot of us. Qatar is now going to be training their service members, I guess you could say, over at an air base here in the United States. They sent one of their officials over to meet with Pete Hegseth, the Department of War secretary. And, a lot of people were very fired up about it, were very infuriated by it, and rightfully so. We should not be working with Qatar at all, but Qatar was able to somehow, some way, like they always do, infiltrate the conservative movement. I've known this for quite some time now. They've been plugging away, trying to pick off, those with an ear to President Trump for a very long time now, they've also tried to get social media influencers, I could speak to this, to go to Qatar to visit, do a vacation. Obviously, I know they'd skin me as soon as I get there, of course. I would never go to Qatar. Probably a bad invite to get, though. And it gets even worse. There's certain media outlets that have taken millions and millions of dollars as an investment from Qatar. So there's a lot of push for us to bring Qatar into the United States, and it looks like it's actually panning out that way. So that announcement coming, and then Qatar obviously trying to help the United States negotiate peace between Hamas and Israel, and they did play a key role in all of that. But also Saudi Arabia was present in that discussion for peace. And now, according to the Financial Times, it looks like we might be working out an agreement with Saudi Arabia to kind of bring them in on this too. Now, the Department of War not confirming the Financial Times report, but apparently there's going to be like a U.S.-Saudi Arabia defense pact coming about. And it's a little concerning for me, Mel, but obviously you know more about all of this, I think, when it comes to these issues, because you've been following the Muslim Brotherhood angle to all of this as well.
Yeah.
Are you a little on edge that maybe possibly next month we got a Saudi Arabia visit coming soon, that they might be announcing this?
Well, I think the geopolitical situation has to be looked at on the global scale, okay? And first and foremost, as you know, I never believe that the war in Israel has anything to do with Jews or Palestinians or Israel or the Palestinian territory. I've always believed it has to do with that land and that port. And many times before, and I was calling it out, before October 7th, G was having meetings with Abbas. He was supposed to have meetings with Netanyahu. October 7th happened. Things got thrown into the mix. But frankly, if you look at the Belt and Road Initiative, which is China's, basically, it's not just their transportation, you know, outline for the whole world, their supply chain outline. I frankly believe the Belt and Road Initiative is also their military outline. And the capture of all of these ports around the world that they now own and run, and all of these, you know, supply chain corridors all over the world. Well, it appears to me that China believed that they were going to get that port outside of Gaza. If you look at the bigger picture, you look at the money involved, you look at the meetings that were had. I honestly think that this is a situation where Donald Trump and his team are going more towards the direction of the Middle East, between Qatar, Saudi Arabia. And don't forget, we have a base on Qatar. We always have. So what Hegseth is saying is that they're coming here to train on specific things. He misspoke, or he allowed the Qatari guy to misspeak and say that they were building a base. That is not what's happening. I do believe that Donald Trump and the government should make the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, and that should include CARE. Mm-hmm. They are undermining our country. Also, a lot of banks in America should be looked into, because they all have started Sharia banking divisions that require them not only to follow Sharia law in their investing, but also to take 2.5% off the top out of Sharia law for donations to Islamic causes. And this includes Goldman Sachs. It includes BlackRock. All of them have these Islamic banking divisions now. Well, 2.5% of a lot of that money is apparently like $7 trillion at this point. And what we're talking about is all of these banks also have to have a Sharia court or a Sharia council involved in their division that does Sharia banking to decide where that money goes. So to me, that is somewhere to go to, because what we need to do is to take the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and all of the money that is going into this country to undermine and turn this country into a minority white nation, which is the goal. Obviously, it's the goal in Europe. I mean, they're not having illegals and immigrants from all over the world go into China or Russia or Brazil or anywhere else, only into the white Christian nations. This is a attack on that. So in the meantime, we have to look at it, the big picture. I think that possibly what we're dealing with is Donald Trump is trying to find a way to have peace in the Middle East by allowing the Middle East, Egypt and others to not only rebuild Gaza, but rebuild that port and control it in conjunction with us. And I truly believe that this has a lot to do with China and China's power in the world. And if people don't look at the big picture and put up look at the map of the Belt and Road Initiative, and then the map of where Israel is on the Belt and Road Initiative, and that's needed. And there's many other things happening. But as far as I know, the best way we can protect our country against what I believe to be a jihad, global jihad, is to take away the money that is funding it. And every one of those banks that has a Sharia compliant department and a Sharia council that decides where the tithing or the charity that they have to pay pay off the top, as per Sharia law, needs to be looked into. See, to me, the white-collar crimes are the easiest, which is why I'm glad that Bassin is actually going through the IRS and the Treasury to get the RICO charges that should be filed against the globalist public-private partnership-funded NGOs. And, you know, this is how we do it. It's got to be, once you take out the money, and we have to stop funding the war in Ukraine, because that money is coming. Listen, all the money that's going to Israel, all the money that's going to Ukraine, Israel's a very different thing, because Israel also happens to be the United States' main intelligence and military stronghold in that region. Israel is the size of New Jersey, okay? Yeah. So it's completely surrounded by Arab countries. Jordan, and look, Jordan, Egypt, none of the Syria, they didn't want to take in the people from Palestinian territory. This has always been a powder keg right there. But a lot of that money that we send to these countries goes back to our military-industrial complex. It is not going, you know what I'm saying? So what we're talking about is, frankly, and this is what I believe. I believe that after World War II, they decided to have, when George H.W. Bush walked on the floor of the United Nations and said that there was a new world order, he left out financial. He left out the tentacles of finance that have been controlling the world and paying for terrorism, paying for war, paying for uprisings, paying for National Endowment for Democracy and USAID on the ground to overthrow regimes. I mean, it's embarrassing. And like I said, our country is as sick as its secrets. And if the people of the United States start dealing with the actual truth of our history, and take it on and be proud to say, you know what, enough's enough. Because like I said, since the murder of JFK, our intelligence community has promoted liars, has promoted fraud, has promoted war. They have done nothing to help the American people.
I want to ask you about, and I was a little on edge when I saw Jared Kushner being heavily involved in these peace negotiations. But when you're talking about possibly, and President Trump saying that this is going to be a focus of rebuilding Gaza and rebuilding that area, how are you nervous about Jared Kushner being involved in any of this?
No, because Jared Kushner, frankly, has always been involved in international business. Look, there are a lot of Americans that love Israel, have family there, have been going there, raised to believe that Israel was the homeland, and they are very attached to making sure that Israel survives and thrives. And what I see happening here is really a shift from endless war for profit to how can we make peace profitable. I mean, at the end of the day, those people are business people. It is a global public-private partnership that they are fighting. And frankly, plenty of what is going on is complex beyond what we know. But I do believe that it's a shift towards trusting these UAE and other countries, Qatar and others. Now, Qatar has already put $6 billion into our country, so it's not new. We do, like I said, there's very easy ways to start blocking that money.
Yeah, I want to ask also about what's going on in New York City. We're both former New Yorkers, and it's really depressing to sit back and watch last night's debate. Now, I know I was a little depressed because here I am watching and going, damn, I'm really going to have to root for Andrew Cuomo right now, because it's like two commies going after each other, but there's one worse than the other, so you got to kind of side with one that isn't as bad.
Right.
But Madani, you know, we're learning more about his campaign because Mug Club Undercover has just recently obtained new footage of one of his lead campaign individuals who's out there just openly saying to someone who they think he's on a date with about Madani's plan, about how he's going to mosques, he's bringing these rainbow community members, these lesbians into mosques to pitch individuals to vote for Madani. And it's just so insane. It's so absurd. But it's all about the Islamic takeover of our country right now. They've understood, they've mastered the fact that they could go into places like New York City, go into places like Georgia and start to build up the Muslim population there so they can get their individuals elected. You know, this person who didn't realize he was on undercover footage, undercover camera, he's a canvassing director for the campaign. He says that this has been on the works for the last couple of years now, that in fact in 2014 that they were working on Madani possibly getting elected to New York City mayor. So this is long overdue. You know, they have a great way of planting people in certain areas and pushing them to get elected. Map us through like what this looks like. And I know you follow all these things. I mean, Madani's been in the works for a while now, being a state legislator, never having a real job, just focused on kind of dreams and aspirations and whatnot you have here. But again, 2014, they've been plotting to use Madani to get him in here.
Well, the state of Qatar funded his mother, who ended up somehow making movies and was nominated for an Academy Award. So the kid's an actor to begin with, first and foremost. Second of all, everything that we thought about Barack Obama, you know, he was from Africa. He was a communist socialist, and he basically was against the United States of America. Well, that's what we're getting right now, an African-born Muslim brotherhood adherent and somebody who's a full-on socialist communist. The problem is that de Blasio was also a communist, and it's debatable, but I think Dinkins was also a Democrat Socialist of America. I think the real thing is that we have to look into the Democrat Socialists of America. As you know, the Nazi Socialist Party was National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. It is very similar if you look up the Democrat Socialists of America do not believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Electoral College, or anything else really that is America. They don't believe in borders. They don't believe in any of that. And they have gotten a stronghold on this country. And a lot of that money is coming from overseas. As for Mamdani, it is people that know, and I got information about, he has been meeting, he's met a couple times with Obama. He's been meeting a lot with Obama, with Muslim Brotherhood. Don't forget, the number two visitor to Obama's White House in the 8 years he was in office was the Muslim Brotherhood head, but that was after Sharpton. So we have to remember that. Now, if this happens to New York, you know, I spent a lot of my life there as well. And certainly I just moved from there to Florida once the illegals started piling in. Sadly enough, there are a lot of people that are socialist sympathizers in New York, and they believe that this might work. Also, all of those universities, I went to one of them, and every time they call me for money, I tell them that they owe me my money back from college because everyone thinks I'm a commie now. But I have to tell you, they got the universities there. They got the people that can't afford anything. A lot of people moved to New York, oddly enough, during COVID. So a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people left, but a lot of people came in, especially as remote work was allowed. So a lot of people that always wanted to go to New York moved to New York and worked remote. They're not even real New Yorkers. The bottom line, this is very dangerous. I have an NYPD retired cop coming on this weekend, and they are going to have a lawless, very dangerous, it's very dangerous right now. When I was younger, in my 20s, whatever, I'd walk down the street in New York, not a thought, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Now after 10 p.m., it's very dangerous. They tell you to be careful. Anyone that's saying that's not true is full of it. And I think beyond that, the guy's never had a job. He's going to run the biggest city in the world. And believe me, the entire Muslim Brotherhood, they're all excited because now they're going to run New York and London. Okay, yeah. This is a globalist situation. And again, why would we allow a 33-year-old, regardless of everything else I'm saying, run New York City that has never had a job, never run anything. He's great talking points. And frankly, something else happened since Trump got in. The IRS put out a notice saying that religious institutions could now intervene or get involved in politics. That used to not be the thing. Well, you know that every single mosque in New York City, and frankly, a lot of mosques in Long Island and elsewhere, they are basically saying that this is part of the jihad. This is part of the taking over of the globalizing the Antifada, getting Mamdani in there. So they are told that for Allah, they have to go vote. And you know what? The year that de Blasio won his second term, I lived there. Nobody could believe it. He was the worst. And everyone was like, how can we let this happen? Only 14% of New York City voters voted for mayor the second de Blasio term. 14%. So think about how, if every single Muslim that can vote, every mosque, has everyone vote, and then all the Democrat socialists that have been collected by AOC vote, and New Yorkers that are against it don't show up, then that's where we're headed. And I believe that is where we're headed.
Mel, I mean, it's so sad to see, because obviously you and I from there, it was bad when I left in 2019. I knew it was going to get worse when I saw criminal justice reform get pushed through. And that was, of course, courtesy of Andrew Cuomo, who actually shoved that into the state's budget, which included, and I call it the Criminal Bill of Rights too, but, you know, the media in New York did the people a disservice by saying, oh, it's about banning plastic bags, and it was about giving criminals more rights. And if you read through it, it made me a far righty these days, because I read through it, I realized it was absolutely egregious that we were allowing this to happen in the first place, but we did. And it's only gotten worse for New York City. And sadly, you know, Andrew Cuomo is really all New York City has to hope on. I mean, this is the guy who literally, in my opinion, killed grandma and grandpa during the pandemic, and he's never been held accountable. Actually, he's received a criminal referral, but I guess we can't file charges against him right now, because he is the only hope in New York City to beat Mandani, and it's heartbreaking.
Well, I think there's something else here that people have to understand. The Chinese Communist Party is deeply embedded in New York City. I mean, they had an event where Schumer and Hochul and Letitia James and everyone, you know, the current mayor, were marching with them. This is a straight-up CCP group. Yeah. And to me, if you were China and you wanted to collapse America or take over as being the leader of the world, New York is a target. And frankly, I think that it's a multi-pronged. Right now, we have two totalitarian different groups. One is Islam is totally totalitarian. If you are not doing what they say or you're not Sharia compliant, you don't deserve basically to live. And the other one is communism, totally totalitarian. It's actually a technate now, a technocracy, China, that is also controlling. But we have a lot of embedded in the political system there. How do you think these people win over and over? There is a very strong CCP guide there.
Well, Mel, you're going to be joining us today on InfoWars for a very long time. You're joining Alex next, and we're excited for that. You're also going to be hosting. We decided she's here. Let's put her to work. And so Mel is going to be on with us all afternoon. So don't go anywhere, folks. There's more Mel Kay on InfoWars, of course. She's the host of The Mel Kay Show and Americans Anonymous, the author of that book. It's available right now on Amazon. Go snag it while you wait for her to go appear on Alex's show. Thanks, Mel, for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bok, quonk, 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 whatever. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bok, woom, quonk, quonk. That'd be really good.